your hand.
No, it's fine. Councillors, I'm told that Saga is not, should I say, operational yet as Saga. But it's fine. Well, let me come this side of the table. Stigi, the politicians were saying to me, I suspect that it's members of the ANC, they're not used to sitting this side. They thought that you would sit this side so that they can sit this side. So they're not feeling very comfortable sitting this side. However, the consolation is that there's no floor crossing. It's been scratched, so they can be comfortable this side. Welcome, and your big delegation. We must welcome colleagues from National Treasury. Thank you very much for coming. I'm happy, Mr. Black, here today. I'm very happy today. And welcome the Mr. Clavisa. See, there another HOD here. Yeah, that's why KZN. I must not finish that sentence, but but you're welcome, and you know, I must welcome all the colleagues from different municipalities. There's a request from Johannesburg to be allowed to present first, and they. As I suspect that the request was made to us, they were still at the airport because they're not here yet. So I'm not sure if they are going to present first, but they made the request. Colleagues, thank you very much for coming. And really the reason for inviting you is that we, drawing from the President's State of the Nation address at the beginning of the year, that this year is the year for job creation. It's job creation, and I hope that Mr. Anderson, I'll use the right language, and job opportunities, create job opportunities for our people. Now, part of that is the expanded public works program, which resides with yourselves in public works. We have a number of meetings with yourselves, and in today's meeting we had invited the provinces and the municipalities that those that are doing well, according to and our information, excuse me, and those that are not doing so well, so that we can share experiences. However, we have had a number of meetings, both between the Portfolio Committee and Public Works. I know that you have been on the road shows to try to promote the program. Last year, you had a conference in Durban where you invited, I think that it was all municipalities, or it was supposed to be all municipalities were invited. However, what we still find is that the program is still not doing very well. Because as at the end of the fourth quarter, my report is not here now in front of me, but I think at the end of the fourth quarter, the provinces had not spent more than 60%, and the municipalities. Now, the issue is, the question that we need to respond to today is, after all the efforts that DG you have tried to put together in order to ensure that this program succeeds, well, the response has not reciprocated the efforts that you have put in. So today's meeting, we're really trying to say what is it that can be done to ensure that we up the uptake of the program. We invited all the stakeholders that we invited today, so that this meeting does not become just a talk shop meeting, but we can take decisive action to move forward. Well, if you ask me what is decisive action, I do not know. That's why we invited you to come and advise us as Parliament into how we can improve the performance of this program. We will allow you perhaps to address us. How we're going to go about it is that we'll allow National Public Works Department to address us. How you address us is up to yourselves. We will allow I don't know, National Treasury to respond. Maybe we will allow the provinces, yes, to address us. The Northwest, you know, you're very far from me, man. I must say, I don't know if you can come closer, you know, you're very far. But other than Northwest and KZN, who else is here from the provinces? Any other province? So, but, okay, there's someone from Mangaung Municipality. Can you just lift your hand? Mangaung is there. There's Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela is there. And the city of Johannesburg, they are on the way. They are delayed. Chairperson, my brother, even where you are, you're still the chairperson. Please, this is our meeting. This is our meeting. If we're voting, you will win the vote. We're not going to vote because we have the majority of the members. Honourable members, I think that we should start now. Shall we allow DG, acting DG, and the team who are in your hands?
Thanks very much, Honourable Chairperson. Honorable
I'm with Chairperson Mabuza.
Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee for Public Works, and honorable members of both the committees, and honorable colleagues from the provinces and municipalities, and colleagues with me here. I've got the acting COO and all the DDGs in the department and relevant chief directors whose responsibility is also to ensure that we perform on the EPWP. As a start, I think we have circulated the narrative on the expanded public program, which I think if not yet circulated, it will be circulated, and also the allocations, which is based on performance. I think we will want to appreciate this opportunity that we want to debate the expanded public program incentive grants in particular, which is a program that we are quite aware that is not doing well because of various factors. We had also discussions in the department to find out as to what improvements can be made, because we have been making a lot of suggestions of how best can we improve on this program so that at the end of the day it impacts positively to the entire country, particularly in the area of creation of job opportunities. We are aware that we are also a contributor in terms of policy making in this regard. And then we, at the end of the day, will want to make proposals of how best can this policy be reviewed in order that the program have maximum benefit to the country. I will request Mr. Henderson to make a presentation, and thereafter, at the end, there will be possible proposals that we are making. If these proposals are considered, it will actually lead us to a situation where we develop a process of reviewing the current policies in the light of concerns that are being raised from various sectors. Thanks very much, Mr. Henderson.
Thank you, DG. Chair, honorable members and colleagues. Our presentation will be fairly brief. We thought that we should be covering the existing model. We know there would be many members here quite familiar with the model, but we thought, just to set the scene properly, we will cover the existing model. We will also show performance, and then we have included discussions over the challenges and the proposals that came out of DPW discussions. I will ask my colleague Ignatius just to cover briefly the model and the challenges. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairpersons, honorable members. I'll just take you very briefly through the existing model and performance, like Mr. Henderson has said. The EPWP incentive grant was introduced in phase two to further enhance the creation of work opportunities through the payment of fiscal incentives. The incentive is paid on the basis of full-time equivalents created above a threshold. The incentive grant is supposed to ensure that public bodies implement their projects labor intensively, because with the threshold, there's such a number of full-time equivalents that they should be able to create. By full-time equivalents, we're talking about person years of employment, and the incentive is not being paid on work opportunities, but full-time equivalents, because the full-time equivalents is dependent on the duration of a work opportunity. And the whole point is to make public bodies implement projects with longer durations, work opportunities with longer durations, because if you have longer durations, then you have more income transfer. In terms of the payment, which leads to poverty alleviation. The incentive is paid on a quarterly basis depending on reports submitted by a public body. Just the processes very quickly. The Department of Public Works determines the eligibility, the thresholds, and allocations for the different public bodies dependent on how they performed in previous financial years. The thresholds are published in the Division of Revenue Act, and these have to be appropriated by the relevant public bodies. And the incentive is conditional on reports that the public bodies submit on a quarterly basis. The incentive is paid quarterly. Next slide. Once they have reported on a quarterly basis, the reports are then assessed. We do verification. They are reported on a management information system. Once the reports have been assessed, payments are made to the public bodies 45 days after the quarter, and the Department of Public Works carries out audits on data that has been reported continuously to make sure that indeed the basis on which you are paying the incentive is correct. You have audits, the public bodies are supposed to keep details of information that they have loaded onto the system, like names of beneficiaries, ID numbers, in terms of the audit requirements. Next slide. So the role of the different stakeholders, it's important to understand the roles of the different stakeholders in the current model. The role of the Department of Public Works is mainly setting the policy, determining the thresholds, and the allocations, also providing technical support to the different public bodies to enable them meet their targets. In terms of, we help public bodies to identify suitable projects, make sure their designs are right. Also, we verify data reported on the system for the incentive payments, and then we have to ensure that disbursements are done once the verification has been done, in addition to auditing the public bodies to ascertain compliance with the incentive requirements. The role of the different public bodies, they have to prepare EPWP project plans to meet or exceed targets. They need to implement the planned EPWP projects. They have to register the projects on the system, and they have to update project information on the system as they implement projects. They also need to ensure that they have projects and payroll information available for audit purposes. The next slide. The roles of the provincial treasuries is to disperse the incentive to provincial departments. Let all in the presentation, you shall see how the money flows. For provincial departments that have earned the incentive, the payment is made to the provincial treasury. The relevant provincial departments then draw down the incentive from the provincial treasuries. For municipalities, the payment is made directly from public works to the municipal accounts. The role of national treasury is to monitor compliance of the incentive and the framework, and support the Department of Public Works in ensuring that we have effective incentive policy frameworks developed. The key processes in terms of the, just to summarize how the current model, public bodies have to report first. That establishes the basis of participation. They are given an allocation once they have reported in previous financial years. They then sign an incentive agreement, which is valid for one financial year. Once they sign an incentive agreement, they begin to report on the projects they're implementing. And then on a quarterly basis, we assess the reports. We do validation and compliance checks. Once we verify the information, we then disperse the incentive on a quarterly basis. That's a summary of how the current model works. So in terms of disbursement, provincial departments, like we mentioned before, the payments go from Department of Public Works to the provincial treasuries, and then the public bodies, then the provincial departments draw down the incentive from their respective provincial treasuries. Once the payment is made, there is a disbursement letter and the payment stub that is sent to the provincial treasury and the relevant department that has earned the incentive. Next slide. In terms of municipalities, the payment is straight from Department of Public Works to the municipal accounts. And this is just the process. We have to comply with the DORA. For provincial departments, you go through the provincial treasuries, and for municipalities, the payment is done straight to them. Next slide. In terms of progress for the 10th financial year that the chairperson alluded to, provincial departments, 7 out of the 9 provinces received the incentive. For the 10-11 financial year, 185 million was paid out of the 330 million that was available, which was 56% of the allocation. The Northern Cape and the Northwest provinces did not access the incentive, and Northwest is here. They'll do a presentation to explain why. For municipalities, It's 273 out of 273 million out of the 622 million was paid, which is 44% of the allocation. But again, within the provinces and municipalities, you will find there are some provinces that are doing well, some municipalities that are doing well, and some that are not doing well. So we'll take a... It's good some of the municipalities are here. They'll be able to give the reasons why. Overall, a expenditure on the incentive was 459 million out of the 944, which is 48%, which is a concern. In terms of the current financial year, in the 10-11 financial year, 91 out of the 126 municipalities accessed the incentive. The one thing that we've seen is an increase in terms of the number of municipalities that are eligible, from 47 in 19 to 126. And the current financial year, the allocations we've handed out, it's 199 municipalities that are eligible for the incentive. So the number of municipalities eligible for the incentive is growing. What we need, the challenge is that the public bodies are not drawing down their full incentive allocation due to under-reporting and low labor intensity of projects implemented. And that is the main challenge. That's one of the main challenges we need to address in terms of the current model. The department has put in place certain measures that we'll talk about, and that's open to discussion here as well, to see how effective can we be to make sure that we improve on the uptake of the incentive. Next slide. And this is just a breakdown. You'll see in the breakdown, this is a breakdown of what was paid to the different provinces. KwaZulu-Natal, 80% of the allocation. They accessed 80% of the allocation. 135 million out of 169 was paid to KwaZulu-Natal, and a lot of that is Department of Transport. They've really been performing well on the incentive, and it's good that they're here. They'll be able to tell us the reasons why. In Limpopo as well, they exceeded their incentive allocation. They drew down to 34%. Now, according to the incentive framework, because it's an incentive, money can be moved from underperforming provinces and provinces that are performing. That's why Limpopo got more than their allocation. Concern is Northern Cape and Northwest is where we have a concern that they have not drawn down on their incentive. Hauteng as well, the drawdown of the incentive is low. Eastern Cape, 47%. That gives a breakdown of the drawdown of the incentive. Municipalities, next slide. For municipalities, there's a whole range. It varies across the different provinces. For Gauteng, the drawdown of the incentive is 79%. A lot of that is due to the city of Johannesburg. They've performed well in terms of the incentive drawdown. And then you have Eastern Cape at 38%. Within the Eastern Cape, if you look at the individual figures, you look at some of the municipalities like Chris Hani District Municipality, Alfenzo, Amatola have been doing quite well in terms of the incentive drawdown, but some have not been performing. Northwest, 52%. The municipalities in the Northwest are drawing down better on the incentive as compared to the provincial department. So that's a breakdown just of the municipalities. In terms of the current financial year, six provincial departments in four provinces have accessed the incentive for the fourth quarter. This is now just additional information. The incentive, we pay one quarter after. So the payment for the fourth quarter has been done in the first quarter of the current financial year. And for provincial departments, the payment is already at 18%. So looking at the figures at provinces, there's likely to be an improvement this financial year, because already from the first quarter we're at 18%, and last year we had 56%. But we need to make sure that every province draws down in terms of the incentive. And then for municipalities, 80 out of the 126 municipalities will be paid a total of 55 million, which is 8%. Municipalities, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure that all municipalities maximize on the drawdown. And then just gives a breakdown of the different provincial departments that have drawn down the incentive for the first quarter, 11-12. Again, we're seeing KwaZulu-Natal, already they have drawn 24% after the first quarter. Considering the fourth quarter payments, Mpumalanga has drawn down 42%. In Mpumalanga, we're beginning to see an improvement in terms of the drawdown of the incentive. And that's largely because the one of their programs, the Sia Tentela Road Maintenance Program, they are beginning to implement and grow that program. And this is similar to Zibambele, the Zibambele program that is being implemented by KwaZulu-Natal Transport. So we're beginning to see change in terms of the labor intensity of projects and the duration of the work opportunities. We're also seeing that change in Limpopo. Limpopo has also started a road maintenance program. Their current drawdown of the incentives at 42%. So in some of the provinces, we're beginning to see that behavioral change that the incentive should achieve, but we need to get this down across the different provinces. Next slide. For municipalities, that shows a breakdown of the drawdown of the incentive. Needs to be improved after that has been paid in the first quarter. Next slide. The challenges being faced by public bodies in drawing down the incentive. One of the challenges is poor quality of data received, because the incentive is dependent on the report received from the public bodies. There is also a lot of under-reporting. A lot of projects are happening, but we're not getting the full figures. That compromises on the amount of the incentive that would be paid. The monitoring and evaluation function is not institutionalized by all implementing public bodies. From the reports and the presentations, you'll see some of the public bodies that are doing well because they have good reporting capacity. They have institutionalized it. Also, projects are not being implemented labor intensively due to poor designs or lack of technical capacity. That's a challenge in some provinces. You find that the projects that are selected are being done conventionally. They are not being done labor intensively. And that is a mind change shift that we have to make sure that we push through in terms of the designs. Also, the poor understanding of the incentive by public body officials also is also been a challenge, that the incentive grant works differently as compared to other grants where you get all the money up front. This one is based on performance. Some of the measures that we put in place to accelerate expenditure, we've strengthened the capacity of the Municipal Technical Support Directorate. More officials have been appointed. The EPWP unit officials have been assigned to help municipalities. And in our report that we presented to the Portfolio Committee, the Public Works Portfolio Committee, there was a jump in the fourth quarter between the third and fourth quarter for municipalities as a result of the officials being assigned to help municipalities even more. Public bodies are being provided with technical support to report on EPWP. We have a team of data capturers that we've appointed to help them report. We're also working with the DBSA through the Sienza Manager Program to support municipalities. We are currently training officials in municipalities' labor-intensive methods of construction. Our target is to train 1,200 officials. As of the first quarter, we've trained 170 officials already. And also, we are training officials in municipalities to enable them report better on the EPWP reporting systems. We're also providing technical support to public bodies to help them implement projects more labor intensively so as to create work opportunities and full-time equivalents that will increase the incentive drawdown. The next slide. In terms of the proposals in changing the model, some of the challenges with the current funding model is the implementing public bodies, especially the small municipalities. We've reduced the threshold. They don't have a threshold, but it's still a challenge. In spite of the fact that the rural municipalities don't have a threshold, we still want to see more drawdown. And one of the challenges they're facing is the lack of human capacity. There are no engineers in those municipalities. We've provided some capacity to help municipalities, but it works better if there are people within the municipality that can help as well. Then also the lack of integrated planning and conceptualization, that from the designs you should be able to get your projects labor intensively. If you do not get the designs right, then it's difficult once the project has been designed to implement it labor intensively. Next slide. I think I'll hand over to my DDG here to speak about some of the proposed changes that are being thought about by DPW.
Uh, chairs and honourable members and colleagues. This we see as an open discussion, so we just put together what came out of our DPW discussion, saying two possible ways of looking at it would be to look at ring-fenced DPWP allocations to implementing bodies across the spheres of government. And secondly, to that implementing body should be allowed to use EWP incentive funding to ensure capacity to implement and report on clearly identified projects. Obviously, we have made some headway with regard to that, to ensure that where the funding would be placed, that we, that the necessary capacity would also be put in place to allow for proper implementation. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the end of the presentation.
I'll come back to you. Abu Chavez.
Any writer?
The writing of
the presentation, Ayana, and that's part.
Yeah, I call.
Okay. You want to come with that?
Okay.
Mabe ugomnye umhlangano ke besizothi manje masalindile. Sibe senza ukunyenzela ukuthi aqede manje sisemhlanganeni nabahulumeni.
Chairperson, thank you very much, Honorable Babu Sokoni. Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members of Parliament, the heads of various institutions among us, honorable guests, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and share this platform with other colleagues of ours in the country, looking at how we do in how we do the EPWP as the province of KwaZulu-Natal. With me, I've got Lulum Dleje. She is our champion in the department, champion EPWP in the department. We have just dedicated a directorate to deal with.
Can I just disturb you just a little bit? I'm sorry. Honorable members, I'm sorry to disturb you, but maybe just for the sake of our colleagues and maybe other colleagues from the other provinces or municipalities. I think the understanding is that, I say generally, this program resides with the departments and the provinces of public works. But there is a difference in KwaZulu-Natal because they are like the pioneers of the program. They were having the program at the Department of Transport. Hence, today, the people who are presenting in KZN, if I'm correct, the program resides with the Department of Transport, not with Public Works. And I think that is the difference. And we've really invited them to share with us some best practices, because I think that from the presentation that was made, it's clear that I looked at what they have drawn down and against the total, because it's clear that they are far ahead. So we've invited them to share with us their successes. Over to you, Mr. Chavez.
Chairperson, can I say something?
Sure.
Chairperson, my understanding when you were inviting us was that Department of Public Works should come and sort of explain to the Appropriation Committee why AEPWP is not making an impact on the ground. Why are rural municipalities not accessing incentives from the Department of Public Works? And I thought, after Public Works presentation, we will engage with Public Works. And my explanation to you yesterday evening was that we yesterday engaged with Public Works. And I even suggested to you to say you should have first invited Public Works Portfolio Committee to share with you. That was our discussion, informal discussion yesterday. I wasn't expecting us to come and listen to the provinces. I wanted us to unlock the problems that are there on the ground of municipalities, especially rural municipalities, not accessing incentives. That was my understanding, and my apology if I'm out of order.
Honorable Chair, I thought that was our discussion as leadership, as you indicate, not necessarily meant for this forum. I would like to keep that discussion at that level, and everything else that was discussed there. I think that in my introduction, I did indicate, and that is the way maybe I also indicate to yourselves that we have invited, we wanted to share the best practice and those that are not able to succeed, so that at the end we can engage then when we are informed. We have heard the presentation from Public Works. They've given us what's happening amongst the provinces and municipalities broadly. But I think that now the turn is that we should hear from the municipalities themselves. But what we would really like to apologize about, especially to the municipalities. One, the first thing maybe that I should have indicated at the time of introduction is that the reasons that SALGA at a political level is not here is because we're just fresh from municipalities. They must constitute their committees. So that has not been done. But there are officials from SALGA. So even with the municipalities, we did the same to invite those that are seen to be performing much better and those that are not doing so well. But just the gap that our shortcoming would be that we have not invited municipalities, your small municipalities from the rural areas who are having a challenge in accessing the program. But I don't think that we will have a challenge in terms of understanding why they do not have. So I would really like to appeal to our colleagues of the Portfolio Committee to allow the presentation to continue. We have requested people not to shown by Public Works, that not to give us long, what to call a presentation, so that we can have more time in engaging, especially as Parliament, to get to understand as to and not only understand, but to say, what is it, if we are able to do that today, to say, what is it that we think that can be done to improve this? We have heard what the department has done. So I'm sure with that understanding, let's allow KZN to
to continue with the presentation. Thank you for your understanding.
Thank you once again, Honorable Chairperson, and honorable members. My dear colleagues, I was in the process of saying Lulu is our dedicated champion in the Department of Transport that deals directly with EPWP and also any other labor-intensive methods within the department in its entirety. We also do coordinate as the coordinating department in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Whatever is happening within the province of KwaZulu-Natal down to the municipal level in terms of the EPWP. So we are, I think I want to concur very well with the chairperson, she's quite right in saying that. And I think we are doing our level best. There are challenges. We are doing our level best though to make sure that we come tops all the time. We've got our WIN events, our chief financial officer as well with me. We're just a trio from KZN. Just we're sharing some platforms to come and discuss some other things with you. But the main thing here is that what Lulu is going to be talking to us are the details. But I just wanted to say this. In KZN, what we do each and every financial year when budgets are allocated and are confirmed by our provincial treasuries, we convince ourselves that 10 to 15% of our budget must go to labor-intensive programs within the department. That is not negotiable. So when we submit the annual performance plans and the business plans, we check those things before they are rolled out. So if a business plan, which will constitute an annual performance plan at the end of the day, does not convince us as a committee where we allocate budgets, the committee of the EXCO, my EXCO, while we chuck it back so that it does go back and be to be re-looked at by that particular chief directorate or component within the department. When we are happy with that, then it comes back and it comes rolled out. I think it's a concerted effort. That's what we do. We are wanting to expand that and cascade it to the municipalities and also to other departments in the province of KwaZulu-Natal that are also participating in the EPWP programs. So maybe it's not you get the money first and then do incentive. You have to do your part and then submit, then you receive your incentives. I think that is what must be understood by the people sitting here. You do the work, then there's an incentive. You don't just fold your hands, wait, then you think that you'll be getting an incentive. That's where the confusion is. You have to put something ahead first. Do it, then submit. Convince the national public works that you are doing some work, then you could get the incentive. I think that is where people are falling short in big time. Maybe let me not talk too much. We'll engage afterwards if there are questions. But I will ask my colleague Lulu to take us through the presentation. You can see the job opportunities and all that we are creating, the full-time equivalents and stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. This is just going to be a brief presentation on the EPWP in KZN. We are just going to outline the targeted projects that we've planned, the incentive grant for the previous financial year, the departmental EPWP contribution from the baseline budget, the incentive grant budget for 11-12, and some of the opportunities for emerging contractors for 11-12. These are the targeted projects. The department is planning to maximize the labor intensity of existing infrastructure projects. We will be looking at construction and road maintenance, especially that. We will be focusing mainly on the construction and maintenance programs, which will include Zibambele. This is because the reason I'm saying including Zibambele is because there are programs for maintenance that do not particularly fall within the program Zibambele that are happening as part of the package of the contract in terms of maintenance and construction, as the HOD has indicated. The labor-intensive construction, the focus is on the
ICDB grading 1 and 2 for emerging contractors. And part of it will include under construction, we have identified two new projects for the current financial year, which is the Altrock in labor intensive construction for an access road in one of our regions in Ladysmith, and we're looking at bringing back the usage of the paving blocks in terms of construction of access roads. We also implemented the EPWP learnerships, where we focused on the youth mainly. That was mainly in the last financial year. Most of the projects that are implemented through the that we have are implemented through the baseline budget. The incentive becomes just additional funding on top of what we're already doing. Currently, the Zimbabwe Road Maintenance Program is targeting 40,000 beneficiaries going forward. This is across the province. The Zimbabwe has contributed massively in the number of FTEs that we've created as a department. It is the pillar of the EPWP within KZN in the infrastructure sector. I think this is because it provides permanent work opportunities for the households that are in the program. And we have improved also the quality of reporting by engaging some of the youth that come from the Zimbabwe households in terms of assisting the department, one, for matters around the reporting EPWP, and also just the overall management of the program and the supervision of the program, Zimbabwe in particular. As I've said earlier, the incentive grant is mainly targeted at labor-intensive construction and maintenance, and we are able to contribute in ensuring equitable as well as maintained provincial road network, as well as enhancing emerging contractor development and employment opportunities for local labor. Emerging contractors ICIDP grade 1 and 2 are the main focus for delivering on labor-based projects. Although some bigger projects have been included as part of the EPWP, the work is subdivided into smaller contracts to enhance the development of emerging contractors, which ultimately provides extensive employment for labor. Construction projects are aimed at providing access roads to public service facilities and other areas that are currently underserved. As I mentioned earlier, we've implemented the road construction learnerships with NQFs of level 2, which will include supervision construction learnerships as well at NQF level 4 and road worker learnerships. In total, we had about 140 learners for these learnerships, that mostly from the Zimbabwe households. We graduated some of them in the last financial year. Some of the learnerships are coming to an end in this particular financial year. This has been very important for us because these the youth that came in as part of this program were, you know, had finished matric and they had math and science, but they didn't have opportunities. This is just a photograph of some of the youth that participated in those learnerships. This is one of a photograph when they were in a classroom training, and the work that they do on site for construction. This is the site where they were doing construction of Gabion retaining wall on P240. This is part of their practical on-site training. This is another construction program project of a walkway on P230 and P240. And going forward, the incentive grant budget for the last financial year, we had, as I mentioned earlier, focused on incentive construction and maintenance. A huge bulk of it went to the maintenance and construction project, and as well as the learnerships. Of the budget of 169 that was mentioned earlier, the department accessed 153 in the last financial year. This slide shows you the budget for operations, for maintenance, for construction. As a department, we have the LIC value of the mainstream budget. that is meant to target creation of work opportunities. And the previous financial year, if you look at the number of work opportunities that we managed to create, it was standing at 57,000, and most of them came from Zibambele as a maintenance project because of the FTEs that is able to generate and the long-term nature of the project. Going forward in 11-12, again on the LSC portion of the mainstream budget is indicated, as well as the work opportunities that we want to create. And the important thing is that we want to scale up on what we've been doing by targeting the work opportunities from this the mainstream budget to be used through the LIC construction, and also to come up with new projects, as we've started with the two that I've mentioned, the Atrodin and the paving blocks. Next financial year, we're already planning to take those two new ones to be implemented in other regions, because these two are only happening in two regions for a start. And as we progress with these two regions, we will see where the successes are and then move on to create new ones for the other regions, which will make a contribution to these figures. The incentive grant for 11-12 financial year is planned as follows. Of the budget that was mentioned earlier, of 132 for KZN, we will be getting a budget in the region of 113, and these are the plans that we have. In terms of a capacitation program, we're looking at engaging youth, because the important thing as a coordinating department, we want to build our capacity in terms of assisting the municipalities, assisting other provincial departments in terms of reporting on the EPWP and just the overall coordination of the EPWP in the province. Again, the youth issue, as I mentioned earlier, we want to address that. And we already have a pool of youth that come out of the Zibambele household. Some of them were part of the learnership. When the learnership came to an end, some of them were able to access better opportunities. Some of them went to universities and they went to technicons. Some of them, due to being in the learnership, were able to get credits at institutions of higher learning to proceed with their studies. Some of them did not access further opportunities, and the idea is that we need to still use them to address some of the challenges that we have, particularly in terms of ensuring that we report properly and consistently and with the right quality of data. And we want to bring them back and create work opportunities in the area of youth. We also have the planned learnership for plant operators. As a department, we have a lot of plant, and there are very few operators. The industry demands many of them. They get jobs in other areas, and so we want to generate a pool of people that we will be able to use as a department, so that we can maximize on opportunities for jobs for job creation. The threat is, as I mentioned earlier, that we could train them, but we might lose them to other opportunities. For the road infrastructure projects, as you can see, they're taking the bulk of the budget. We also have the Road Safety Directorate, which is not an infrastructure directorate. They started reporting the EPWP on their projects of the crossing guards. They wanted to scale up the program, but they didn't have any funding to do that, and so we will be targeting the incentive to that program as well. In terms of emerging contractors, the subsequent to Siamba Sonke launch, from the current incentive grant allocation, the department will scale up its maintenance and construction, as mentioned before, using labor-intensive methods. And in order to benefit the emerging contractors, we, as mentioned, targeted grade 1 and 2 emerging contractors, and those are the values of the contracts, and through these contracts work opportunities will be created, because these are the contracts that we engage to ensure that there is LIC a component in the project. With the targeting of Zimbabwe youth, the department will be providing employment and training for at least 3 years over and above the permanent work opportunities already created in the program. The above shows that in responding to the new growth path, we have to intervene on both execution and planning of road construction and maintenance projects, which is what the department is currently doing and has been doing for a while now. And these are some of the pictures. This is the site that where we are going to be building an access road. It's being cleared currently. It's an access road which we'll be using paving blocks. It's an access road to a school. This is another construction site in one of our regions. And thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, once again. I think that is our presentation. We could cite as many examples as possible, but for the sake of time, I think that's where we would end. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We were with your team in KZN. I think they really help us, you know. We will now take Northwest. Northwest then represents the rest of the provinces. But I'm sure we'll listen to the challenges now. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairpersons, honorable members, colleagues, and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mbulelo Tunzi. I am in the employ of the Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport in the Northwest Province, responsible for the expanded public works program. I present before you the problem areas as requested in the note received or letter received from the Secretariat. This is the outline of the presentation, and I would then waste no time, go straight to the core of the presentation. The Department of Public Works has two branches, Public Works, Roads and Transport, that could and that should contribute significantly to the expanded public works program. They are public works branch and the roads branch. I can state here that the public works branch is doing relatively and comparatively better. Our elephant in the room, why in the Northwest we are not receiving the incentive grant, remains the roads branch. I would henceforth go to the roads branch, outline the status quo and state what are the challenges and what has been done and what we think should be done to get where KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape and other provinces are. This is the report as reported by the National Department of Public Works by the end of the fourth quarter of 2010-11. Northwest had a budget of 482 million, spent 238 million, and was able to create only 1,819 work opportunities. That translated to 330 FTEs. This is our biggest problem, Chairperson. You spend 238 million, you only create 1,819 work opportunities, and they translate to those FTEs. Those FTEs don't meet the threshold that we were given by National Department of Public Works, and National Department of Public Works gave those FTE thresholds way before the beginning of the financial year. So, Chairperson, these are the comments we received.
Sorry, Mr. Twins. I think that you will help us, not just by being general. If you say they are not meeting those STs, you just tell us exactly what are the expectations, as far as you can know, what is it that you're not able to meet, and perhaps why, if possible.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to continue the presentation. I'll go to those details, why Northwest is in the situation it finds itself. The Department of Public Works recommendations and feedback were that we must improve labor intensity of our projects, we must invest more resources in the road maintenance program, and we must improve data collection and collation. Chairperson, I would like to leave this and come back to it later so that we don't get misunderstood. Chairperson, these are the reasons why Northwest is not meeting and exceeding and drawing down the incentive grant. There is a lack of capacity both in the department amongst professional service providers to design, specify, and manage projects so as they are as labor intensive as technically and economically feasible. There is an insufficient commitment amongst some officials to EPWP implementation. There is a gap between policy and implementation. On the gap between policy and implementation, the issue here is where you have policy of government understood as being optional, when in fact government policy should be a mandatory matter. So what we have done to improve this situation is not a situation that we have confronted yesterday. Remember, EPWP phase 2 started in 2004. Between 2004 and 2009, the Department of Public Works roads were not combined, they were separated. We then, in 2007, after having observed this matter, as Public Works as coordinating department, proposed to the then Department of Transport that let's go to KwaZulu-Natal and study the Zibambele program. That trip was undertaken in 2007 by the HODs of Public Works and Transport with senior officials responsible for roads. We went to KwaZulu-Natal, we studied the thing, the program, and we came back. We wrote a cabinet memo on the trip where we recommended that the Department of Transport, Roads and Community Safety in Northwest must adopt and replicate that program, including, when necessary, help from Treasury if resources and other things are a problem. That cabinet memo and its recommendations were adopted by EXCO. Then, after 2009 elections, the Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport was constituted. We then again undertook a trip to KwaZulu-Natal, where we were to study again the Zibambele program. We came back, we put a cabinet memo on that thing, on that visit, and we put recommendations. And the recommendations were stating the same thing, let's adopt and replicate the program. Then last year in June, the program similar to KwaZulu-Natal, called in Northwest terms, Itirela Road Maintenance Program, was launched. Now, Chairperson, the issue here, its program is launched, but we are swimming against a tide in the sense that we need to catch up with people who have been in the game for long. So you run a program and you implement 1,000, 2,000 people, you are not going to make the impact and get what you need to compete with us, that's how you can get the incentive grant. The program has been launched, but the numbers and the resources that have been put there are not pushing the program to be the level where it can throw down money like KwaZulu-Natal. And we had said to the department last year, department launched this program. On its first year, go for 10,000 work opportunities, like KwaZulu-Natal, they work today. We agreed, by end of the year, we had not exceeded 3,000 work opportunities. Perhaps then we have to get from management exactly what is the, let me just state the facts of this. This financial year, we say upscale the program to 14,000 work opportunities. At least you meet the threshold, other programs can begin to take you to the incentive grant money. The of official position of the Department of Northwest today, is that this program, which is Itirele, that should compete with us, can only afford this year to take 6,000 work opportunities, and the reason is resources. That's what the position of the department is. So that's what I would like to state at this point in time. Further, Chairperson, we have recommended to EXCO, this is Premier and her cabinet, to say, we are not meeting the targets. One of the things that we must do, put EPWP implementation, its targets, into the contracts of senior managers and HODs, whereby you can reward compliance and success. But if there is non-compliance and failure, you can punish people. These things are recorded, they are there in EXCO minutes, they were adopted. That is where some of us whose role is to advise can end. As to who must take that and ensure it's implemented in other things, there are protocols that must be followed. We continue to try and get DPWP, that is Public Works Roads and Transport Official in Northwest, to be trained on competencies in line with guidelines. These are your NQF training 5-7. And you continue to hold workshops and mobilize resources on this matter. And we say your management committees must continually evaluate whether EPWP is going. We further said, in any department, you have your APPs, your plans, they do not get implemented until you've signed contracts with people and you do that through the supply chain management process. The advice we've given to the department is that you must get supply chain to ensure that where there is, because this matter, money gets appropriated, there is an Act, Division of Revenue Act, with its frameworks. It states clearly what are the conditions of this money, what it should be used for. What we are facing, Chairperson, we have procurement committees who concentrate on PFMA, triple PFA, and they do not give Division of Revenue Act and its framework the same standing as this Act. So you get money appropriated, consultants are procured, these consultants do not meet the EPWP guidelines, contractors are procured, they are not competent to do EPWP work. So you've got that mission, you can't move. But these are the things that we've advised and put before both our management and EXCO that we can move. The NEC, beginning of this financial year, wanted to hear from us, EPW, on what needs to be done. This is what we gave them, that we must move in this particular direction. What we are saying, Chairperson, what is to be done to improve, going forward, what we expect or would like you to assist us with is to get MEC and HOD to improve the Itirele Road program, including making sure that more resources, both human and financial, are put in this program to propel it to a level where KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape. We would also want to see supply chain processes reviewed to ensure that EPWP is enforced and applied, and there should be motivation for deviations or not going that road. So going back to the slide that I wanted to, this is just to add, it's not a reason, this is a national problem. KwaZulu-Natal is an example that even if this is not there, where there is will and whatever, you can still achieve. Division of Revenue Act as it stands now does not explicitly state that you see Hamba Soge or Rose Maintenance Program grant. Does not say it's an EPWP. It states it in a very weak, not a strong manner or position. We would like this to be looked at, and possible if there is a way, we would love Auditor General, when they do audit performance, they talk about portfolios of evidence where there are claims that the data and its conditions and its framework should be treated in the same standing as this Act. We hope that these are the tools that we can to get where we would want to go. Chairperson, that is the short and long of the presentation from Northwest. We think we know what has to be done. and we've tried to put what we think can propel Northwest to a position where it should be. And I think work on the ground indicates that there is a problem. And I really, from where I stand, having interacted with colleagues both at National and KwaZulu-Natal, I think in terms of ideas and what has to be done, we are very clear, and I think we are sufficient. I think where we left is perhaps action, and if you can assist us, as I've indicated, is to get our MEC and HOD perhaps to look into these matters as we have recommended. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The members are here. They are listening with interest. It looks like it can be resolved, but there's something that KZN didn't say that I would have loved them to say will come to question time. I mean, I'm listening to this presentation.
We will, thank you very much, Mr. Tunzi. We'll take Nelson Mandela Bay Metro with a big name.
Sharapek, we heard that when the flight departed from at the airport, you called that you'll be the first one to present, even before you landed, you know. but I know you guys, you don't have a problem of flights, unlike the rest of the country, you know. Now, don't you worry. Our presentations are short, as we requested. You see, with Mangaung, if they miss their flight, they can really be in trouble. But let's hear Nelson Mandela and Mangaung after that.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members of the committees and my colleagues as well. I would like first to apologize on behalf of one of the councillors, portfolio councillors responsible for EPWB. He could not make it in this meeting. Yesterday they were locked in a council meeting trying to adopt the IDP and the budget, and could not get the flight. But nevertheless, Chairperson, thanks for the opportunity. Our report is going to be very brief, as per the request made by the committee. These are just a few areas that I'm going to talk of. I think we'll briefly talk about our performance in implementing EPWB in the Nelson Mandela Bay municipalities, our plans in upscaling EPWB, and then get straight to the challenges and proposed solutions. Chairperson, very briefly, you know, EPWB in the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipal was fully, you know, established in 2009. So it has a lot of task of trying to market the program internally. But in that same year, we have even managed, you know, to be shortlisted in the social sector as a finalist in the National EPWB Awards. So that means we have been serious to look to all sectors. And also we successfully hosted the EPWB City Network, which is also very, very important structure from us because of we have to network with other metros. Also, Chair, you know, in the metro, you know, we have been mobilizing the NGOs after we had the call that the NGOs under the wing of a non-state sector can also participate in EPWB. And we're really happy to announce that two NGOs managed to get the opportunities of being appointed by Public Works, and as a result, 1,350 beneficiaries will benefited on that. And also, Chair, you know, as a metro, you know, we have been going around trying to talk to other different stakeholders, including private sectors, and we have also managed to implement a very, important program of schools repairs and renovation, and we lobby Cadbury, you know, on that effect in that particular financial year. And the amount of $5 million was spent, and that money, you know, in that money jobs were created and people were also employed. And also another event which is very important, you know, we have also managed to have pilot project in two cemeteries, which is Ride and Gwanobuhle, those are historical cemeteries, you know, phase one, piloting EPWP, but we're still going to continue with other phases. It's just a highlight. Also in that year, which is 2009-2010 financial year, Chairperson, I think we have been given, you know, a target of 994 full-time equivalent in that particular year. I think we're a little bit done very well, Chair, because we have managed at least to exceed that target in the third quarter, and we received an amount of 2.6 million, and also another additional 100,000 was given to us. It was in July last year. So I think if you compare ourselves, you know, with other provincial, you know, district municipalities, I think you'll see the percentage here in terms of, you know, work opportunities. Yeah, we'll say we compare ourselves there, but at the same time we need to compare. I'm going to that is good, Chairperson. Thank you very much. But I think what is also important is to check, you know, the FET target which has been given to us. I think because it was a start, it was 994, of which it has been exceeded in that financial year. Also, just in that comparison, internal chair, I think under the FETs, we tried, although it was not really, you know, a big amount of money. You know, I think Chairperson was right. We have to compare ourselves with other, you know, colleagues in the metros. Chair, in 2010-2011, this is where the problem started. So you can see that, you know, the target that was given to us, I'm not complaining, Chair. You know, in 2009-2010, financially, it was 994. Now we've been given the target of 2,761 FETs. I'm not complaining, Chair. So, and then the indicative allocation was 12.4 million. To honor the Chair, I think we really, in order for us to achieve that target, you know, we have to work very hard, because it would mean that if it's on a quarterly basis, we have at least to report not less than 650, for example, FETs. But I think we've got plans, Chair. So we've been really struggling, to be honest with you, Chair, you know, in reaching, because we've been reporting on plus minus 400, 500 FETs on a quarterly basis, and it has been difficult for us to access that money that has been sitting there. Chair, I think that's something that we should note, but under the recommendation and challenges, I'll put it, and also even our plans in place. But I think the other thing that we've done, Chair, you know, as an EPWP unit there, we have developed, you know, the EPWP policy. Because what we have realized that is that, you know, the directorates, even the service providers that we're using, you know, they don't want to change their mindset. So we wanted to have a policy where we'll say, at least we are going to enforce those directorates, to enforce the consultant debt, to comply on EPWP. So that, you know, policy is going to be adopted, you know, by the council before the August. And then we've been going, doing a roadshow. I think it's going to help us. So there, Chair, I've just, you know, highlighted other activities that we're doing in terms of, you know, making sure that EPWP is known, not only on the infrastructure sector, but on different sectors as well. And this year in March, we have won, you know, an award as the best cooperatives in the environment and cultural sector, and we're shortlisted in the social sector, you know, because as EPWP, we are involved in almost all sectors in the metro, not in the infrastructure sector. Chair, I think moving forward, Chair, we have managed at least to organize a training for plus minus 30 Nelson Mandela Bay officials on labor-intensive model. It was in March. I think that really helped us, Chair, because really sometimes, I'm sorry, I'm not criticizing the engineers, but sometimes, you know, the engineered people, it's not easy for them to change. If they used to say 1 plus 1 is 2, if you are saying to them 2 plus 0, they don't say it's 2. So their mindset, you know, in terms of changing, you know, their methodology, it has been difficult, it's been a challenge. So I'm really not criticizing, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, when we introduce them in this labor-intensive code, yes. So, sorry about that. Let me, I'm apologizing about that. So, Chair, I think, you know, also, Chair, why we did, because we've got a really a political support in this EPWP, you know, we did not hide. We called an EPWP in Daba, you know, and we discussed the resolutions that were discussed in the National EPWP Summit, and our executive mayor was there. He's really supporting us, and we're happy that he's also here in April. And National Department of Public, of course, they always support us there. I think we can see there is a real change now in the mindset, you know, because they were getting that support. So, and we hope things are moving, Chair, will be moved, Chair. And I've already said that at least, you know, in the metro, in the province, I think we're the only municipalities in all sectors. These are just the target, Chair, that has been, you know, given to us by the National Department of Public Works. These are the targets that in the protocol agreement signed, of course, again, by the executive mayor here, signed those targets. But you can see, Chair, under the 2010-2011 financial year, the FET on the infrastructure is 1,439. I've noted what you have said, but you can see that, you know, there's inconsistency, but I think we're working around the clock to make sure that at least, you know, we achieve the target that has been given to us. We're not complaining now, but it's difficult, Chair. This is just the performance, Chair, vis-a-vis up to the end of March, but you can see under infrastructure sector, you know, we have been really taking behind. But in this last quarter, in terms of financial year of municipality, we are working around the clock. So we are not sure whether we are not going to be close or achieve the target set, but I think definitely we are going to achieve the minimum that is there. I think we'll talk, we'll see whether we are not going to get something, you know, from national. And then on the social sector, that's what we're doing. And then on the environment and culture sector, yeah, I think we're very strong there. Currently, we're implementing 4 projects, and we're achieving the target as well. I think we're doing very well because there are cooperatives that we have introduced. Chair, what we have done, you know, because we're getting that kind of a support political now, when the IDPs were developed, we interacted with different directorates. And we said, let's come up with projects that we can, you know, make sure that those projects are in the IDP and those projects can be implementing using labor-intensive methods. And I'm happy, Chair, you know, now, yesterday, the IDP has been adopted and those projects are there. Some have been budgeted, some have not been budgeted. We'll try to see where we're getting money. For instance, to make an example, very few of them, infrastructure development and maintenance, you know, you'll see after we've got storm drainage and trenches that will be implemented using EPWP, resurfacing of identified roads, most especially the township, they'll be used, you know, in EPWP line, minor works, repairs and renovation to municipalities, buildings, so which is also a very good, you know, project. That one will be implemented using EPWP. There's no, you know, negotiations on that now. And then other programs like PA Educators, Environmental Risk Management, that one are in the ITP. Also in the next slide, Chair, you'll see, also we'll also make sure that we develop cooperatives and then beautification of cemeteries, most especially in the townships. You know, there's a lot of maintenance that's supposed to be there. That one, there's no negotiations. And then the last one, if you see, there's a war on hunger. You know, we have introduced a very good program. Is social sector program. We will be employing plus minus 150 people by July. So that one is also not negotiable. So we have got this list of program, Chair, that we're having in this financial year that will be, you know, implementing using EPWP. Definitely will be achieving the target that has been given to us, and we're happy about the target that we've been given in this financial year, Chair. Chair, coming to the challenges, I think one challenge that we're having, first challenge, is the poor reporting by 7 directories. So, but we're working on it, as I've said earlier, but I thought, let me raise this, because it's one of the challenges. We have to interact with those directors. And also poor branding of EPWP programs, you know, and projects, that has also been a challenge, because it's nice if the programs are being also branded. And also, Chair, to be honest, there are a few available planned projects that can create massive employment, unlike Wazunada. So, because of the designs. So our project were really not designed using labor intensive, but hence now we've engaged the officials and so on and so on. The proposed solution, Chair, we hope the introduction of the Nelson Mandela Bay EPWP policy, you know, is going to help, because we're going to enforce, you know, all stakeholders that are involved in EPWP. Also, Chair, what we have done, you know, top of that, we're saying EPWP will be included, you know, in the key performance indicator of the executive directors. So we're busy now interacting with them. We're busy now that the budget has been adopted. We're setting targets. We're saying this is the money that we have given. Out of that money, so much percentage definitely will make sure that that money is creating jobs. And also, we are saying projects to be designed to suit labor-intensive method. You know, we have trained, you know, our people in the design area, and we are also happy. You know, National Department of Public Works was there last week. You know, introducing the large project methodology, and then all design people were there. And then lastly, I think we are negotiating with Department of Public Works. Said we require the services of the EPW technical support. I was happy it was coming from them now. You know, because they've realized that they cannot do. They said, no. Can we get, when were you saying to them, can we do that? They were saying, no. Well, no, we don't want any other person to come. We know this. But now they realize. So we're here. I think if our colleagues from National Development Public can provide that support, you know, why these guys, you know, are also excited about it, that would be a good share. So, Chair, that is long and short of our presentation.
That's fine. If they don't do what they said here, they would do. So come and tell us. See you, Chairperson. The portfolio committee. But did you say that the mayor is here?
No, the mayor is not here. He's in China right now, but there's a political head portfolio who's going to accompany. But the mayor is really supporting us, Chair.
Okay. Now, thank you very much, Nelson Mandela. Colleagues, there is tea outside who will not break. We can just individually help ourselves with tea. Yeah. Thank you very much, Nelson Mandela. Pangao. I hear that Nelson Mandela says they invite EPWP, they invite Public Works, and Public Works doesn't take the invitations. It's what you were saying, no? At the end. Sorry?
Chair, we were having a meeting with Public Works last week.
Wow.
To discuss, you know, a large...
Okay. Technical support from the National Department. Okay. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, honorable members of parliament, colleagues. I first want to apologize for our top management. They are in this building, but unfortunately, they are busy with other issues regarding the metro status, so they asked me to carry on with the presentation. I am the PMU project manager, and this presentation serves to react on the statement that Mangaung Municipality is experiencing challenges with regard to the implementation of EPWP. Although the target as set by government has not been reached, you can be assured that a big effort has been put into the creation of work opportunities and the reporting thereof. However, we are experiencing some challenges, and I will make use of this opportunity to discuss those challenges and the possible solutions. First, in the achievements on job creation, our minimum threshold for the 10-11 financial year, if you convert the FTEs to percentage per million rand of the project value, is 1,725. What we achieved on water and sanitation, you can see that is 509. On roads and stormwater is 363. If we take the average, those are only the MIG projects, then the average is 449. You can compare that with the 1725, and you can see that we are far below. If we add our non-MIG projects, if we include them to the calculation, then the figure changes to 1066. You can see the big improvement. The reason for that is we don't have to include the money, because the allocation is based on the MIG value only, so we can only include the percentage, and that brings you with a better figure. The basis of calculation, as I said, the target is based on the annual MIG allocation only.
unfunded projects can also be reported on. So the more unfunded projects to report on, the easier to reach the target, which is based on the MIC value only. Unfortunately, most capital projects in Mangaung were funded by MIC. We don't have a lot of unfunding. But Mangaung will show improvement with this USDG funds because the allocation is still based, the target is still based on the MIC allocation, and USD is much bigger than the MIC funds. So there will be, the figures will show an improvement. If we come to the challenges, the procurement process is still causing unnecessary delays. The projects, our projects are advertised only after budget approval. Then the procurement process can start. Then the bid meetings are postponed. Some of the items are referred back because of minor queries. And these delays have late starting dates as a result, which means that the contractors will have a challenge to complete the projects in time and therefore will make less use of hand labor. If we look at the possible solutions for the procurement process, we can get council approval. We need to get council approval earlier than the budget approval for certain projects, so then we can advertise earlier. So that is what we used to do in the past. So we're not going to wait for the budget to approve. We must just get council approval. No bid meeting should be postponed, and minor queries on bid items must be rectified without referring the item back to the next meeting. We have also challenges on site. Mangaung is a rocky area. Sometimes we don't use a lot of hand labor in rocky areas. We have to use machines. We also have deep excavation sometimes. And we are busy with building of major roads, so it's less labor intensive. The contractors, although it is mentioned in the documents, and it is advertised according to the EPWP guidelines, the contractors tend to rather use machines, especially when they are pushed for time. Some of the laborers don't pitch up for work. They come, they receive all the equipment, and the next day they're not there. So, and also then the next point is the contractors were careful to employ, sorry for that spelling, too many workers, because the MIC unit cost could be exceeded. So they must stick to the MIC unit cost, and that is also the reason why they were careful. So the possible solutions on site. With the USDG funding, we can appoint more workers. So there are no specific unit costs that could be exceeded. Then we can improve our documents. Our contract documents can be improved. We can force the contractors to employ a specific number of workers for each project. That is what we didn't do, but we can do that. And then the workers in the various wards must be selected more carefully to make sure that they are willing to perform their duties. We are also concentrating on other sectors than infrastructure. There are challenges there. The non-reporting on existing projects, we know that is a problem. We experience that the people are willing to cooperate, but when you wait for the information at the end of the month, it didn't come. So you have to remind them. So what we think would be the best is if we could get more people involved to assist them with that. If you go to a person, you say, let's sit together and we can complete the template, they will be more willing to do that. But officials, it's extra work for them, so we struggle to get that reporting templates in. They are not fully aware of EPWP. Then our institutional arrangement. As I said, we need more capacity to assist with the completion or the gathering of the information. And then operational budget constraints in terms of EPWP. We didn't have a lot of money on the budget to have awareness campaigns on to making the people aware of EPWP. Then the possible solutions on the other sectors than infrastructure is the expansion of the existing structure will be recommended to obtain better institutional capacity, especially now when Mateo, the district municipality, is going to come over to our municipalities, so maybe we can make use of more capacity there.
And then a special operational budget item will also be recommended for EPWP activities. We've already identified environmental sector projects, the food for waste, that is, you are familiar with that one. Then also we are going to concentrate more on maintenance projects like road and water maintenance projects, parks projects, and then waste collection and cleaning projects, and there's also, also think of waste recycling. So we are busy thinking of solutions. We are motivated. We realize how important it is to do job creation, and but we will try to take care of all the challenges that we have. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. People are here and listening. As presentations are made, I'm sure there will be solutions. You can switch off your mic. Let's take now Johannesburg. You see, you will still be able to catch your 3 o'clock flight. Jobek, you must tell us how you do it. We didn't want to invite the province of KwaZulu-Natal and Etegwini. I know Etegwini has got very good projects. But we thought that Johannesburg. I saw you guys on TV, but now you must present to us. I didn't think that we can touch you, you know, because you were on TV. But I'm glad you're here. So you're going to share with us how you do it. How are you? Now people can take tea, and someone can take tea for the DG, I'm sure. But others can drink water so that we don't sleep. I know this long presentation can be tiring, you know.
Thank you, Chairperson, and morning members of parliament and colleagues that are here. My name is Jason Ngobeni. I'm the Executive Director for Economic Development in the city of Johannesburg. I'm accompanied by four of my colleagues, Luna Mandovu, who is the EPWP Program Manager, Nelson.
I can just keep their hands as you introduce the first.
Okay. You're sitting right at the corner there. And next, Nelson Matlangu, who is the Assistant Director responsible for the infrastructure sector, Petson Koza, Assistant Director responsible for environment and social sector, and Nyawe Seidisho, who is responsible for monitoring and evaluation. I'll try and be precise and listening to all the presentations that are being made. Chairperson, there's quite a lot of progress being made in the country.
Sorry, have you got... okay, we'll get the presentation after you've done. Sorry.
Okay. We'll try and cover some of those areas that are there. You might think we don't have challenges, but we do. We'll share that as well with you. Just to give you a perspective of the EPWP in the city of Johannesburg and how it works, is that it fits in with the rest of our programs. You know, we don't see EPWP as a standalone. So, and it's one of our strategies to address unemployment, to absorb the poor, and it immediately fits in as a short-term and medium strategy. And it's also something that was agreed upon with the public of Johannesburg in the Growth and Development Summit held in June 2003. We've set our objectives as job creation and skills development. And there is a third one, which is enterprise development. But just to give you an idea, in the first phase of EPWP, we started 2004-09, where our target was 120,000 jobs, we did not have an internal stretch target. So you can see there's 120, and even the internal target is 120. And we ended the period with 153,000 jobs. So with the phase two EPWP, the target set is 89,000, obviously because of the difference between the two phases. We've stretched ourselves here. As a city, we've set ourselves 150,000 jobs. We are tracking that number in the first few months of implementation, or first few quarters. That's the third quarter. We're now sitting at 44,000 jobs. That excludes the quarter. Starting March to the end of June, which is our financial year. So we expect maybe another 10 to 15,000 jobs to be added there. So we do have an institutional framework in the city. In fact, EPWP is not just treated as an ad hoc. You know, we've got a structure. It falls under economic development. That decision was made politically by the previous mayoral committee under the leadership of Mayor Masondo, that it should be a unit in itself with a substantial capacity. Although we cannot capacitate to the numbers that we want to, but we're working very closely with the national department because it provides us people that assist with especially capturing work. But that's the ideal structure that we put there. Not all the positions have been filled, and some of the people are here with me. As I stated, that it's a unit by itself. We are managing implementation of EPWP in the city for about 15 companies, which are municipal entities, and 11 departments. You know, all of which submit plans to us, and we go through them and set targets jointly with themselves. This is managed right from the municipal manager's office down to the person that implements an EPWP project. It is in the municipal manager's performance management contract. It's a KPI. It's in my performance management contract. It's a KPI. And it is in all the managing directors and CEOs of companies of the municipal entities, together with the executive directors of the 11 departments, as a KPI in their performance agreements. We report quarterly to our portfolio committees and the mayoral committee, and monthly we report to the municipal manager. We have a monthly steering committee, which I chair, which is attended by senior officials from all these 26 entities, and we've got a citywide implementation guideline. What is different at the city of Johannesburg is that we have turned EPWP into a culture. You know, we've adopted a slogan, which is a formal slogan. Unfortunately, we didn't put the EPWP logo at the bottom. You would have seen the suffix underneath it, which would have read every project an EPWP project. So unlike other provinces and cities, we don't allocate a specific budget for EPWP. Every capital budget that is approved by council is EPWP. So we even have an exception rule that says you have to come back to us, the forum, and say, why is your project not an EPWP? And I'll give an example, for instance, like City Power, which rolls out heavy and medium current. They would come to us and say, we can't make the rolling out of the pylon and EPWP, and we understand that, and those type of exceptions we make. But the starting point is that every project is an EPWP project. I will not repeat that. The important thing to mention there is that on an annual basis, we take the teams. These are about minimum 26 people, because each and every department and ME sends a senior official. On an annual basis, we go into a one-off planning, lohota, you know, where we go and give each one of us ample time to tell us about their plans on implementing EPWP. and on how to raise the bar if you want. And I must say there's a political will. This is a high priority of the mayoral committee at the city of Johannesburg. We have a policy that is a variation of the national policy. This is adapted to the city of Johannesburg's specific requirements and to ensure that it becomes easy for implementation. I will not read through that, but I'm sure you can, when you get your copies, you'll be able to see what our policy imperatives are. This is just a breakdown for the phase two, that on the 150,000 jobs, and remember 150,000 is an internal stretch target, is not a target agreed upon with the national department. That's our internal stretch target, and that's how we have allocated it, that throughout the period 110,000 of those jobs must come from infrastructure, and 15,000 from environment, 25,000 from social. And then the learnerships, again, we've set ourselves an internal target of about 400, which is where our enterprise development imperative is. Then we've got a number of operational framework which identifies priorities. I'll give an example of some of these. We probably, together with others, championed the OPEX side of EPWP, which, in other words, a deviation away from the infrastructure, where we started looking at how we can use our own operations, operational costs, to pursue the same objectives of EPWP and maximize the budget of the city. And we are glad to see that eventually the national policy also allows for social and environmental. Some of them are Josie Somile, tourist ambassador. I'll talk about them later on in the presentation. Reduction of domestic air pollution, Ikaheng, June 16 trail, and the bus rapid transit. Just to mention a few. I mean, there's quite a lot. If we put everything here, it probably would need about 2-3 hours to present every project. So on the social sector, Josie Itlomide is an annual project. This project does not get appropriation or allocation from the city budget. It gets allocation from the EPWP incentive. You know, I mean, we support this project through and through. It's a VCT project. It's targeted to the youth and the community, and it's been running now for, this is the fourth year that it's been running. As you can see, the budget we've allocated for it is 8 million rand per annum. Here we, through the Department of Health, we identify community youth who gets trained as counselors, and they then go door to door to especially care for the people that are infected with AIDS, with HIV/AIDS, and those that are affected. And this program has been working very well in the city of Johannesburg. It's also one of the mayoral priorities. This is just a picture of the one of the sessions that is being conducted by the same project. On the social sector side, Tourism Ambassador, this is a project we started, which was stimulated by part of the FIFA World Cup, where we conceived this project to make especially the tourist attractive areas safer and friendlier for the tourists and visitors. So this project was then conceived. We here identified about 200 potential, if you want, JMPD, Metropolis type people that would have been employed by Metropolis. They got trained in different languages, French, in Spanish, Portuguese, and all those different languages that normal tourists would have come through on. And we allocated 6 million rand for this, and just a picture of those ambassadors. These are people that are very visible. You go to any of the tourist attraction areas in Johannesburg, and probably they'll be able to speak to you in French or any other languages. And this program has been going now for this is the second year. Environmental projects, again, Ikaheng, this is another project that we are implementing, which is really earmarked at eliminating urban decay and cleaning areas, cutting grass, just making places that would have been unsafe, safer. And we employing about 250 people there and removing illegal signage, graffiti, and especially people that can walk the streets, identify signs that have been bumped by cars for a long time and have not been fixed, or paving that has been removed on the roadside. Someone was fixing something underground and they did not replace them back. So it's really meant to improve the urban look of the city. These are some of the examples of the type of project or work that is being done there. Infrastructure project, this is the BRC Phase 2. The BRC Phase 2 is a bigger project than just what we're showing, the 5 million rand there. This is to assist to reinforce the roads, where, especially if you look at the BRC 1, where the buses start interacting with the normal vehicle users, and that road is not necessarily made for the BRT buses, and you'd see that there's a slight movement of the tar, you know, especially on the edges of the road. So this assists in ensuring that road on the side is supported, and we're just trying it. It's the first time that we're doing this project, and we also want to use it to train people in road works. That's part of the, we can't pinpoint which part is EPWP, but I think if you look at where there is no dedicated lane, the support would be EPWP. We also supported the June 16, which is a trail that tracks the, especially the incidents or prior to June 16, even including where Hector Peterson was shot, in the, where there's a museum, but just to retrace the entire, and as part of a tourism asset, if you want, we have supported it to the tune of 22 million rand, and in particular using the people that were part of the June 16 uprising, you know, who are able to assist in retracing and paving the area, coloring the area into specific color codes that symbolizes the history of June 16. It's a multi-year program. We've allocated about 22 million for that project, just created about 1,100 jobs. This is part of it, and it's along the houses. I think that's one of the hostels that's on the route that the uprising or the march was taking place. Some of the processes for the incentive grant, we have created a process, because the incentive grant comes through and people just expect that we're going to then give it to them. As I said, the city's approach is every project is an EPWP project. So therefore, the incentive is given on the basis that you are able to spend your current capital budget. It gets gazetted, then we receive proposals throughout the city, the 26 departments and entities. Then we sit and adjudicate them, you know, as part of the team, as the forum. Then we prepare a report that eventually gets approved by council. And once that has been approved, then we follow that through with an allocation. So in the same way that a budget, a normal budget, is appropriated for a municipality, it follows the same process. And we didn't want to deviate from it, because we don't want it to be budgeted separately. It's budgeted, it's submitted as a budget proposal for the entire departmental or entire entity budget, albeit the fact that it's being indicated in the budget itself. We require that all the projects under the incentive must be registered, and the would get registered, and the beneficiaries should be registered as well to make it easy for our reporting. We've got guidelines for reimbursement. We've tried this with National Treasury. I think we had about 2-3 meetings with National Treasury to see if we can get the money given to us up front. But Chairperson, it's a battle that we have not won. The departments and the companies have been saying to us, give us the money, let's spend it, or give us the money up front, you know we'll spend it, you know our performance, and we know that internally, but National Treasury, if they could do that for us, I think it would assist us to even exceed that number of targeted jobs that we've placed there. Yeah, then we have to, and it got accounting implications, because the Auditor General and the Accountant General will have to follow up on how the money has been accounted for. Then the incentive challenges, as I said, I think the main thing there is that we, when we overperform, we don't get the that part about overperformance being gazetted, and which makes it difficult for us to appropriate it internally. You know, I mean, we might get the guideline from the national department, but it would still not be in there. We're still struggling with disabilities, and we are making opportunities available for people with disabilities, but we're getting there. In conclusion, Chair, we have over the past 5 years inculcated that culture within the city, and I've already spoken about every project being an EPWP project. We have a very robust monitoring and evaluation. There's accountability, you know, on EPWP at the highest level of management. As I stated before, EPWP is not just an ad hoc activity, but it's part of our comprehensive planning, and the value of EPWP is seen and cherished by all. Thanks. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm done. Thanks.
Inko. Well, thank you very much. Chobek, now let's come to almost the last presentation. But my municipality Guruleni is not doing so well. Let's take now Salga. I hope that Salga will represent those small municipalities that are not here. They are important. They are not spending. We would like them to have access to these opportunities. Over to you, and you'll identify yourself.
Thank you, Chair.
He has indicated that he has not prepared. You have not prepared a presentation.
No, there is no presentation.
You will be short. Thanks.
I will. Thanks. My name is Tim Haddingham. I'm the Program Manager for Economic Development at Salga Western Cape office. But I've been involved with the economic development is the bit of Salga where the EPWP program falls under within our structures. I've just got really a few points to sort of make, and I think a lot of them have already come up through some of the municipalities' presentations. In terms of one thing that we sort of as Salga have supported in the past is that there needs to be some differentiated approach to supporting.
Can I check, is the member representing the Salga National or is he representing the province? Because we want to hear a national. If it is a provincial, I think really what we are expecting, we want to know what is happening in the whole country. I want to check first because I hear him introducing himself as Salga Western Cape.
Clear that part.
Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I've been requested by our national office to represent our national office here, and the points that I'm going to mention now have been sort of given to me by our national office to raise at this meeting. The first one is the differentiated approach, and I think we've seen in some of the presentations even the larger metros have some problems with capacity and support around reporting Just basically technical capacity in terms of in the municipalities. I'm sure my colleagues from the municipalities will tell you that the difficulties, even in a big metro, to get quality financial staff, to get quality technical staff. So you can imagine how more difficult that is in a small municipality in the Northern Cape. The result of that is that municipalities tend to take the path of least resistance, if you like, where they are required to do service delivery, so they just do it any way they can. So that obviously mitigates against a labor-intensive approach, which does require more management and more hands-on support, especially in a context where people aren't used to that idea. I think one of my colleagues referred to sort of changing mindsets of engineers. And that's a good example of that. One of our sort of some of our thinking around that is that where that's taking place, where there is a lot of rural municipalities, such as in the Northern Cape, or if you look in some of the maps produced by the National Department about which municipalities are reporting, there's also quite a lot in Northern KwaZulu-Natal where municipalities aren't reporting. We were thinking that maybe there's a opportunity there to work closer with provinces to sort of bolster that capacity. Just in terms of municipal processes, we also see the inclusion of EPWP into IDPs, etc., as a long-term process, or a longer-term process rather than an immediate one. There has been, I think, quite a lot of progress in the last 12 months since a lot of the provincial departments of public works, or departments of public works and transport, wherever it sits, has been putting data capturers into individual municipalities. And we found just through our sort of tracking process that means a lot more municipalities are reporting. They're not meeting the thresholds yet, but they at least they've made that start on sort of reporting. Some of my colleagues from the municipalities have referred to the approval of IDPs. That's happening now. It has to happen by the end of this month. So if there's projects in there that don't have a specific EPWP component or not EPWP focused, there's limited scope to change that sort of in the next 12 months. So we sort of planning on taking to our provincial and national conferences, and I'll talk about a bit more about those in a second, the proposal that that there'd be a two-pronged approach from Salga's side to encourage municipalities in the short term to look at the existing projects to see what they can do in a more labor-intensive way, and then a longer-term sort of awareness-raising approach to include more labor-intensive projects actually in the IDP with a specific focus on that rather than something that's been tacked on in the end. Just in terms of a few other things that Salga's been involved with, we, as part of our mandating structures, we have provincial working groups and national working groups. The whole issue around EPWP is a standing item on those working groups pretty much in all the provinces, so it's not really an ad hoc engagement. Occasionally when it happens, those meetings happen every quarter. And that's to sort of raise awareness and to encourage municipalities to report and to get more involved. They're usually done by the provincial department responsible because they obviously have the hands-on information. And this sort of comes to sort of my final 2 points really, and that's the way forward is that we've just had local government elections and more than 50% of councillors weren't returned to their councils. So that means we're back. or we're not exactly back where we were before, but it means that a lot of institutional memory has left our municipalities. And as is the case, we already seen, if you look in the Sunday papers, the adverts appearing for top management of municipalities. So there's going to be another clearing out of institutional memory that's going to take place. So with that in mind, that kind of chaos generated by the elections and the possible losses from that, we sort of proposing sort of two things, because that comes with its own opportunities. You might have seen in the press that last week SALGA launched with partners, DCOG and DBSA launched the council induction training. The initial phase is a very general one, but what we've recommended in the municipal infrastructure directorate and in the economic development and in the finance directorate, that the more in-depth training or the more in-depth induction for councillors, which will take place sort of October onwards, that RDP be incorporated in that. Now that training is focused specifically on councillors that are involved in portfolio committees. So those are the people that are really sort of sitting there making the decisions. So we think that's a good place to start to encourage or to mainstream EPWP. Then the second thing is that our provincial conferences are about to take place, and the way that works is that at the provincial conference we elect our provincial executive committees, as well as have commissions around key issues facing local government, and each province takes positions on various issues. And we're proposing to include EPWP in the provincial commissions. And those positions go forward to our national conference, where our national executive committee is elected, and where there's further commissions. And then those further commissions, what gets decided there really becomes the program or the SALGA position for the next 5 years. We're proposing to... We don't like the fact that there's all this change and there's a lot of chaos in the local government sector due to the elections, but we think we can use it as an opportunity through the induction program and through the provincial conferences. I'm sure there's other points, but I'm sure those will come out in discussion. Thank you.
If I were you, I would use the word difficulty instead of chaos, you know. You're just painting a bleak picture now if you're saying there's chaos. Let's say there are challenges, difficulties that are there. You see, if you want to use the language, you must ask politicians. They will tell you, they'll teach you how to use the language.
Mr. Talare, I don't think that you want to come in now, later. Mr. Pratt, that's what you're saying. Well, a lot of members, I think that let's engage. We had all the presentations, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's engage. I'll start with Comrade Mazopa. Let's start with Chairperson, Comrade Mazopa, Comrade Haraplom. Any other hand so far? Mamungwenya? Comrade Whip, Comrade Whip. The whips will close it.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, firstly I would like to thank the presenters who presented this morning. There are common problems in all the municipalities, and we know what causes these problems. And Chairperson, I'm sorry to be too forward. I would like to say EPWP should have its own model so that they can be able to implement on, the municipalities can be able to implement on and access grants. Because the model that EPWP is now using was the model that was proposed by National Treasury. Secondly, I would like to say municipalities, especially the rural ones, should be capacitated before getting AMA grants. There's no capacity as Salga has indicated. Thirdly, in the municipalities, especially the rural municipalities, there are no control systems. That's the major problem that is there. And lastly, I think there should be skills transferred to the municipalities so that they can be able to implement. It's only Josie that spoke about waste for food. Food for waste. It's a very good easy project, EPWP project. None of these municipalities said anything about waste for food. An easy one that can deal with the issue of poverty. The rest, Chairperson, if these are not attended to, and if national treasury is not a challenge on this model, let's forget about the implementation of EPW. With Josie, the target of 150,000 jobs that you are targeting to, with a metro like Josie, the number is too low, 150,000 in 5 years. I wasn't expecting you to talk about 150,000. I was expecting you to estimate around 250,000-300,000. And can you please look into that? Thank you, Chairperson.
I think this question, DG, is saying, what are the guidelines for these job targets? Between your metros, your middle metros, and so forth. I think that's the gist of the question.
No. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I also want to join the queue for my chairperson to really appreciate the presentations that we have shared this morning. And I think it really assists us to share experiences on good practice, so that if we are not performing, we know what the others are doing, so that we can improve ourselves. But firstly, Chairperson, I would like to check the challenges that have been raised by Salga on the issue of capacity. The understanding is that Salga is responsible to assist the municipality around the issue of capacity. I'm saying this, Honorable Chair, because Salga, local government CETA, they have an agreement, because local government CETA have been going to the municipalities to request the municipalities to submit the names of the people to be assisted on the technical skills. But if it is something that is still a problem, that Salga also is saying it's a challenge, yes, it can be a challenge maybe because of the resources and so on. What has Salga done to talk to COPTA to try and address the challenges that they are presenting to us today? Because it's within them, they can take this through. Chairperson, also, one would like to hear the comments of the Treasury looking at the spending trend of on incentive grant, to say, is this model successful or it's failing our people on the ground? If it is failing our people on the ground, what is it that the Treasury will do? Because all the time you talk about low expenditure. I think Mr. Tlabisa was correct to say that incentive grant, it's not something that municipalities have. It's something that is lying there. It's not something that the provinces have. You have to work, you must have your own capital budget
to spend. And then if you don't have capital budget, it means to say you can't access this. But who are being affected are those poor municipalities in the deep rural areas that the former president called the consolidated project consolidate. Those are the municipalities that are being affected because they don't have revenue base. And if you look at the MIG or the PIG, whatever PIG at the provincial level and MIG at the local level, those... Okay. So, you know, if you talk about municipal infrastructure grant, you know the municipalities are accessing little of it. Hence, the gaps on the ground around the issue of the service delivery are very wide. And I even said that during the budget debate, to say that my feeling as a person that is coming down there in my constituency area, Mr. Shabisa knows I will phone him even at night to say I see the potholes here, but I have to really commend you to say that you act quickly. Because the challenges on the ground are very, very, very wide. So I'm just saying that to the Treasury to comment on us, to see that is this a good model? Because at the end of the day, it affects the Public Works Department to say that they fail to spend. At the end of the day, it boils back to Public Works, not to Treasury, you know. And Treasury will come back and say, what is happening? Auditor General will say, what is happening here? But let us really look at this model. If it needs to be reviewed, it must be reviewed. Because my layman opinion will say that maybe if this money can be added on the municipal infrastructure grant, so that you allow the municipalities to know that I've got so much budget that I have to play, you know. Because that is why sometimes the municipalities ended up saying this money are dumped on us towards the end of the financial year. So it's something that we need to review. And also around the issue of training also, we understand that the Department of Public Works at the national level told us that training is based on the requirements of the project. There is a provision. What do we do to enhance, to try and have that particular coordination to assist the municipalities on the ground to get that particular training? It goes to what the report that we got as a portfolio committee to say that they are deputy directors that are helping on the EPWP in different provinces. 9 EPWP deputy directors. I understand also over and above that there are 60 data capturers. I'm saying this because it appears on the challenges from the department. It appears on all the presentation that it's still a challenge. What is the role of those data capturers that the national department have employed and try and employ to assist different provinces and the municipalities? I was of the view that maybe we'll hear from different presenters to say we do have data capturers that the national department has given to us, but it's not enough. We are not hearing that. We are hearing a challenge that there is nothing on the ground or in the institution. Maybe if we can be clarified to say, those, I know that because I asked that question, where are these deputy directors that are responsible for coordinating that information that is required for incentive grant? They are at a national level. Maybe it's something that we have to look and review to say, are they supposed to be based at a national level or they must be decentralized in different provinces so that they can make impact? Because it's a challenge of getting a data and the correct data according to the challenges that has been presented before us. These are some of the things that I think we need to look at and see. But also, Northwest was presenting, and you know, there are a lot of challenges. in those particular challenges, if you just analyze it, it's like there is a sort of resistance at the same time to move forward, despite the fact that the indication was saying that, no, there is a problem of the resources, financial resources, human resource. But seemingly, when you, as a politician, the way I'm looking at it, because it's like there is somebody that is saying this thing, there is no policy that is binding. It's optional. You can use or you cannot use, you know. Despite the fact that there has been a call by the president of the country to say that 2011 is the year of job creation. Despite the call of the first citizen of this country to say we must all, you know, it's not business as usual to all of us as employees. We are politicians, we are an official, it's not business as usual, according to the call of the president. I'm saying this because I want to check, and also maybe to say there are protocols that are being signed. National Department of Public Works go to the provinces, they sign the protocol. My question that comes into my mind, if the Northwest presentation and the way that they have presented, they are not really moving. What is entailed in that protocol that they have signed, or service level agreement, whatever you call it? What is entailed there? What about the target that the chairperson is saying, to say if the Johannesburg Metro will come and say this is an internal arrangement of 150,000 for 5 years? What is entailed in that particular protocol? What is the target? These are some of the things that we have to raise and understand as the employees. Because our chairperson used to say, these glossy reports, when you go on the ground, you see nothing. These are some of the things that we must talk to as this platform. And we appreciate the chair that we have called this meeting of sharing experience. Because always we throw stones at the national department. We want to hear what is happening in the provinces now. They are here. What are the challenges? What have they done since the inception of the EPWP? Even now they can't move an inch. We can't accept that as politicians. We really can't. We really can't. Something must be done. Something must be done to really correct this situation. We are here because we are entrusted that whatever is happening here will represent our people. If I go back to my constituency, I must explain. Mr. Shavisa knows, I phone all the time. Even if I do door to door in my constituency, I will say I see here. One day we phoned him, or we're going with one of our ministers. I said, no, something must be done now. The following week, the creator was there to do something. Because we can't tolerate people that are really not moving. So, Chairperson, I think these are some of the things that we have to look at. The other thing around the issue of the protocols, my understanding of how it works at a local level. You know, anything that is not part of the IDP, any plan, you can come with a good project, but if it is not part of the IDP, it's not part of the plan. On those protocols, do you take into consideration that what the time you make target, this thing is really part of the IDP? Is it prioritized? Because even everything that is part of the IDP, they are prioritized because of the resource constraints. These are some of the things that we must understand as politicians, because really the difference between us and you, we did not put in the CVs, we just throw in this barcoded ID. But at the same time, we want to understand what is happening around us. Thank you.
Well, I hope that Mr. Labisa will not change his numbers, because you phone him too often. is it you, Comrade Karaplo?
Chairperson, thank you very much. After the two ladies speak in front of me, it's not much what I can add to this, except for a few things. I'm very glad that we here this morning have listened to the metros and to the provinces. Unfortunately, they were not the rural municipality, and that's a pity. because that's the problems, that's where we experience the problems, and that's where the need is the most. Firstly, if you look at the, I'm only interested in overspending or underspending. If you look at what is in front of us, it's not a good picture. The point is, and as the President mentioned, we must create jobs. Our people need it, Chair. And it's very important that we address this issue for once and for all. But the challenges, if you look at the challenges of what the provinces said and what the municipalities and what the metros said, and it's quite certain that we need urgently technical capacity. And especially in the rural areas, we need that urgently, technical capacity. Now my view is that, and unfortunately I also must say, that I'm not very happy with the way, not that you as person, but the training of SAGA happened in the past. I'm sorry, because we discussed it a year ago, I know my web mentioned it a year ago, I don't see any improvement. And I'm a little bit concerned about that. So I think we need urgently to address that. And then there's also a lack of coordination between, I think, the department and between the provinces and perhaps between the metros. Because that brings us to this point that the chair of the Public Works Committee mentioned, and that is the success of this model. Because the challenges are there. And if you heard what the city of Gauteng Joburg said here this morning, that was a beautiful model. If they can share that ideas with the other municipalities and with the rural municipalities, then you will have a program. And I think that is what the department must look at, the Public Works Department. Send these things to the smaller rural municipalities that they know. Here you mentioned. You mentioned in public work, you mentioned here and said poor understanding of the EPWP incentive by public body officials. Now that's my point. It's perhaps a lack of good coordination and communication. You know, we have workshops, we have meetings, but at the end of the day, our people on ground level, they are suffering. So we need to address this. And then, Chair, another thing is that I think I will stop there. Only that I think that on the other hand, I would like to listen to what Tracy said, but you cannot pay money if there is not a program on the table and if people are not accountable. And I want to tell you, no councillors change, but officials don't change every 5 years. So I think the time is that officials take their responsibilities and that they make certain that the programs that they received, that they were implemented, don't blame the councillors therefore, or don't blame the politicians. At the end of the day, if you look at what happened in Italy, you have many precedents, but the country is still going on. So my view is, Chair, that I think training is tremendously important. I think we must make use of the money that's available, and we must make certain that when people attend courses, that they don't attend it for 2 days and the other 5 days they are not there. That they are attending the courses and make certain at the end of the day that they go back to the municipalities, plow back into the municipalities what they have learned. But there must be uniformity in the programs. I think we must not make it 50, 60, 70 pages. Make it easy. Make it simple. Tell the people what to do. Don't come with academic theories and things that people on ground level cannot understand. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Comrade. Mangwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join my colleagues by appreciating the presentations that have been made so far. I just want to comment on few issues. The first one is on the inadequate capacity as reported by the department on technical skills. So my question is, how is the department going to assist the municipalities with technical skills if they don't have enough capacity to do that particular service? Then secondly, Chairperson, there was an indication that if municipalities are not performing, then the money is being taken from them, from those, or the allocation is being diverted to those municipalities that are performing. I don't think that is a good solution. Is there any assessment that is being made first to ascertain what is the reason for those municipalities not to perform? How are we going to assist them? Because at the end of the day, there will only be one or two municipalities that are mostly benefiting from the EPWP. If maybe the conditions are saying that you are taking from Jack, you give it to, you know, I don't know who's the second one. But is it that a good, do you think is a good strategy that can be used? You punish the other one must benefit more. Without making an assessment, what is the problem with the one that is not performing? Then the other one, Chair, is that if provincial departments are not adhering to the terms and conditions of the EPWP, what is happening? Because you can't come with plans, terms, conditions, agreements, whatsoever, then people, they do whatever, you know. If they're not complying to the terms and conditions of the EPWP, then which steps are being taken, especially by the national department, to ensure that provincial departments and also municipalities are adhering to the terms and conditions of the EPWP? The other one is that is the department able to disperse funds on time? Now there's a change in the leadership of municipalities. What plans are in place to make sure that you take them on board as soon as possible to deal with the challenges that we are experiencing, so that the new councillors must be able to understand what was the objective of this EPWP? What is it that they are supposed to do? Northwest, Chairperson, I think there's a major challenge there. The department must intervene, but it's unfortunate that you don't have the political heads here. National department must intervene, the provincial department must intervene, and also SALGA must try to assist. Mvilo Bodilabe, you are Carl. Tisambe saike ZN Sabuya, Sapinde Sabuyela. Sabuya, what do you want? I want to tell you that we won't see him. Nabantu abadala bayasho ukuthi wabona umuntu wesilisa akhala even noma kufiwe bokwazi ukuthi yabheda. So kusho kona ukuthi e Northwest umntana abantu uyazikhalela, akangakhali isiphetho. There should be an intervention, Jefferson, because ngenzelo kubavakasha babuya nama reports bala mamemo, you know, but there's nothing, there's no progress, there's no change. You know, there are many documents that are gathering dust in most of the offices. You know, some overseas trips are being taken, local trips are being taken, sharing of knowledge, experience, but what is happening thereafter? My last one, Chair, is directed to Treasury. When looking at this document, it is a responsibility that Treasury is supposed to do. And also, you know, the common challenge here is underspending on the EPWP. What is it? What intervention has the Treasury made to make sure that we deal with this? To make sure that we deal with this challenge, we assist so that we avoid, because when looking at the PFMA, both underspending and overspending, it's not allowed. So what is it that the Treasury has done to make sure that really they assist in this regard? Thank you, Chips.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gayla, Honorable Gayla.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a few comments. I think the model of KwaZulu-Natal Tekwini is a very good one, and we've seen it as a committee. We went there, and also Gauteng, they are the best models in the whole country at the moment, and even the provinces can learn a lot from those two provinces. But I have just a few comments. First of all, yes.
I know that Joburg is not a city region yet, so it's still a metro.
Okay, Northwest, we were there, Chairperson, about 2-3 years. Honorable Mungwana can attest to that. And I am not happy when they say to us here that the consultants don't want to design projects that are EPW compliant. Who's paying the consultant? That is my question. That's the question that I have here. Because they have to do as you instruct them. And I think that's what KwaZulu-Natal and all the others are doing. Who's paying the consultants? The consultant cannot tell you that we cannot design a road that's not EPW compliant. You tell the consultant because you are paying. This is what I want. So, even the last time when we were there, we spoke about this here. That the consultant, they must instruct a consultant to specify projects that are EPW compliant. And there is nothing that can help them if they cannot do that because they are paying. No other department, no province can help them or national can help them. They are paying the consultants. Secondly then, a problem that I have, Chairperson, is with the rural municipalities. The problem there is that they don't have their revenue base. So let's start there. And there are a lot of people staying there in those rural municipalities. But there is no revenue base. Now, what is Treasury doing to assist them? Whether we can say what the problem is, a revenue base that is non-existent. You know, I've listened to Port Elizabeth, I've been there, I've seen their grazers clean, their townships are clean, but those rural municipalities cannot do that unless they assist it with a revenue base. We've got to be fair and open with to say there is no revenue base with those municipalities, and Treasury has got to come in and assist those municipalities. There is no other way that they can get any revenue base, Chairperson. Then, Chairperson, Salga. You know, Salga, I'm really disappointed. There's no capacity within those municipalities. You're supposed to be helping them. What are you doing to assist the municipality? There's no technical capacity. You go to the, it's a mess up. What is Salga doing? I know DBSA is doing some truth. I thought you were going to speak to us and say DBSA is doing that and that and that. But there is no capacity within those municipalities. National Public Works is not to be blamed for that. It is Salga. What are you doing to create capacity within those municipalities? Because we'll be sitting here for the next 5 years, we'll be talking the same thing. The truth of the matter is that there is no capacity. Even those 9 deputy directors are just supposed to assist. They're not staying within those municipalities. And as my colleague said, if there's nothing in the IDP, there is nothing, there's no extended power that you can, unless it's in the IDP. And the IDP needs to be funded, and unfortunately it goes back to Treasury, the revenue base. Thank you.
Well, Honorable Gayla, I understand what you're saying to Salga, but
I think that we should take into account their introduction, his introduction. I'm not defending anyone, but I think we should take that into account.
Thank you, Shepherdson. Shepherdson, I think it was a good idea that you are all here with some of the municipalities, actually the metros, to learn from each other. First of all, I would like to recommend to commend Gauteng, city of Joburg, for the stance they took to say every project is an EPWP project. Unlike before, when we used to go there, we were told that this is too technical. We can't apply EPWP. I mean, it's good that they've changed from that attitude. Secondly, it's about the some of the provinces that just become they are being specific to say a certain percentage of this project, for instance, about 15% must go to the EPWP. So even other municipalities learn a lesson from that. Again, the recommendation of EPWP Lekgotla, I think we can learn something from that. Either we get all the MECs together with the mayors of certain municipalities, and then even before the year starts, we know what to do, including the National Department of Public Works. So that those who are frustrated or who have got challenges are able to voice their challenges. Also, I think I fully agree with the comrades who say this EPWP incentive model, it needs to be looked into very seriously. So I think that's the task of Treasury plus the National Department, because really the rural municipalities are struggling. We can't be like it's business as usual. We need to do something about it, because that's where these jobs are needed. Also, I think with these EPWP projects, we need also to learn from the National Department of Public Works. Every province has got these government departments, government buildings that need to be maintained. We can use the youth there to maintain the all these. We can have as many projects as possible using the youth to maintain all those buildings, and most of them are very old. Lastly, Chairperson, is about the sitters. I think we need to rope in the sitters, because the training, they've got the money from the government for training, so we don't have to be beating about the bush. They must do their job. And even in the presentation that was presented by National Department of Public Works yesterday, they have not claimed anything, which means they're not doing their job. They're supposed to be training, they're doing the training. Because at the end of the day, we don't want these people or the youth, we don't want them to end up being employees or EPWP employees. We want them to be employers. We want them, I don't know which municipality was saying they're using these paving bricks for maintaining the access roads. If we can make so we don't have to buy those paving bricks from the already established companies, we need to train the youngsters and women to manufacture those bricks, so that at the end of the day, they
They've got their own projects, and really we need to encourage the upcoming small businesses to be assisted by these EPWPs, because it's pointless to buy all the material from the already established. So the training not only goes to those who will be doing the job, those who will be supplying, those who will be doing the job. It needs to be done. I think that's all. Thanks. And yeah, we touched on the directors and the provision of technical support to the municipalities. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Nobody is putting any question to Mangaung. You know, I don't know if you listened to Mangaung's presentation. Comrade Whip,
Comrade Mashiko. I think a lot of issues are being covered, but I think the one that needs to be stressed is that which came out very clearly from Eastern Cape on page 7 there, poor reporting by certain directorates, but it was covered because I think qualifications, skills and all are needed, because it must start from there to know that there's proper reporting. There needs to be monitoring, and they should ensure that there's proper reporting there. And when it comes to their proposed solutions, they were not clear how they addressed that. I thought they would come out clearer. But I think Honorable Matlota spoke a lot about that directories and reporting. And my other question now, yeah, is covered. And the other question is, when Johannesburg was reporting, they mentioned on one of their slides, I think it was cleaning. Unfortunately, we don't have their paper, where they said there was 6.9 million and they had created 250 jobs, and it seemed it was for a year or what, and I couldn't align the two, that money with the jobs that were created. I think they should try to explain it there, because they spoke about a lot of heavy work that was being done there, but I still can't reconcile this money and the number of jobs that they created, especially that they said the amount was for about a year. And when it comes to, and I think we need proper infrastructure, and the fact that they mentioned that 1 + 1 = 2, but 2 + 0 can be reconciled. I think for us to have proper infrastructure, we need to be aware of the fact that they know that 2 + 0 = 2, because we need infrastructure should be designed, should be maintained and properly operated, and it needs people who know the job to do that, because in our communities, especially where I come from, there is a job that was done through EPWP which ignored the fact that we need skillful, qualified engineers. We know that the job will ultimately be done by labor intensive, but we must be aware that 2 + 0, they'll always know that it equals to 1 + 1. Thank you, Chair.
I don't know. I can add my own question. 2 × 0? That's my bad. Come on, Marla.
Yeah, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, before I speak, I would say that most of the points are covered by my colleagues. But then I want to clarify this issue that Joburg Metro is not representing Gauteng. Must be clear to my colleagues. Joburg is representing Joburg Metro. Now, there are
going back to the questions raised by my colleagues, there are other municipalities.
What about the intention to establish a city region?
Chairperson, there are other municipalities in Gauteng which are not here, and those municipalities are so poor. I can mention them: the Bomafomankungwini, Nokengza Daimani, which we are not concentrating on them. So, Comrade Chairperson, in future we need to interact with such municipalities, the poor of the poorest. You mustn't bring the Aboma Joburg Metro. We know Utiba Pashash Bashap. But then, Chairperson, I'm having the report in front of me here. Now my question is to the Department of Public Works, because according to my knowledge, there are 283 municipalities, but now only 202 signed what is called protocols or memorandum of agreement. What happened to the rest of 60? What is the problem? Why are these protocols not signed? Thanks, Chairperson.
There are now 278 municipalities. So we are reducing them all the time. Okay. KZN is indicating that they will be experiencing transport challenges soon. I think they need to leave at the latest by 1:30. At the latest. I'm saying at the latest. The questions have been raised and comments have been made. But Mangaung, you're really escaping. I can't allow you to go without raising a question with you, but I will first allow Honorable Kayla.
If you say that projects are before the budgets are advertised, what do you mean?
Yes.
No, I just want to get to now. You know beforehand that you have IDP projects, so that is not an excuse, Chairperson, that you cannot have an EPW project, according to the report. Secondly, yes, even in the northwest, there were rocky areas, but they had EPW projects. A certain project of the road can be a PW project, going with paving on the road. The paving on the road. I just want to assist you, Chairperson, that this is not true, what is being said here. Stormwater can be part of the project. Stormwater can be EPW. So let them go get their house in order. All we want EPW projects. We want job creation projects, and we must instruct their consultants. The problem is that these municipalities are ruled by consultants. They must simply instruct their this is what we want. They are paying now the same money. They must instruct their consultants. This is what the government wants. It wants to create jobs. Simple as that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. can I first allow then, thank you very much about this question. I was wondering that nobody picked up this question, you know. But can I first allow KZF? You see, I'm doing my own protocol and you must protect me now because I'm not starting with the National Department. But if you want to make comments before you leave.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. We would like to say indeed it is quite a scope-widening kind of a discussion. While we are sitting here, we have also learned a lot from our colleagues. Yes, people have been coming to the province of KwaZulu-Natal to come and learn. We appreciate that. We will always keep our hands open.
But you must charge them now, you know.
I think I was gonna say all along it has been that, I think we have learned a lot. We would like to share some experiences with the Joburg City. There's quite some useful information, like we are doing also food to waste programs in our province, which we learned from Curitiba in Brazil. So we are implementing them in our province. So we want to share some experiences around that. I think it's quite a touching experience that other municipalities who are in the rural areas, they will remain rural, they remain ultra poor. Maybe the change of the model will assist us a lot. I fully concur with the leadership in this house. And also, as like the Curitiba project, we've been doing some seed funding to the municipalities to get them going with this kind of the food for waste, which is called Isiazenzele, it's garbage, which is not garbage. So that is one of the projects which we are very proud of as KZN. We are working closely with the municipalities. I think the seed funding has been coming from transport to say this is what you can, it's a startup kind of a capital for the municipalities and provide them with transport, a truck or something like that. So, but you can see that it's not a sustainable kind of a thing. Well, that's the only thing we can do as a province. But sustainability of that, I mean, it's a problem, it's a challenge. I think the review of the funding model for the incentive grant, I think that is what we would really, really appreciate to be reviewed, so that all the parties, all the corners of the country can also benefit equally. Thank you very much.
But there's something that you didn't mention in your presentation. Maybe let me allow Honorable Matlopa first and then...
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. We appreciate the performance of KwaZulu-Natal. However, Chair, we must give the Department of Transport the provision when they are going back home. We are not happy with the performance of the municipalities. We know that maybe it's not your direct, but as a legislature, it's something that we have to take back, because the challenge around the issue of capacity, we strongly believe that the Department of Public Works and Department of Transport working together can make a difference to those municipalities, even around the issue of capacity. That's what Deben has been doing, people seconded in those poor municipalities. But I think the coordination, not us and them, it must be done. It will assist us as a country to say that, no, now something is happening. Because the really protest that we got is at a grassroots level, at the municipalities, because people don't see the difference. If going back, we appreciate you are doing a lot of work, we know. I'm a witness, but we are not happy with the municipalities. If we look at the performance here, we are looking day-to-day performance of the municipalities. That's why when we go back, we'll talk with Lulu when I go back home. Thank you.
See, my power is going now. I'm not sure. Because of KZN. Because of KZN. You know...
It's like a family issue, in a way.
Thank you. What... Oh, you wanted to comment to KZN?
Yes, Chairperson. I also wanted to say only two municipalities, that is Etekwini and Sundusi, that are really doing well. But the rest is zero.
In fact, I think that, Mr. Sharif, I'm coming at the right time, you know, because the issue that has been raised by colleagues, and Northwest. I suppose that Northwest is one of your municipalities that you can look at. And Northwest, you know, if you had raised the matter of how you are succeeding in KZN, you know, there's something that I know that you're doing that you didn't mention. For instance, Northwest says we have developed two memos. Send two memos to cabinet, they mean nothing. And I know that KwaZulu-Natal, that's where you have won the battle. And if you could just, in 2 minutes, say how you have fared there, so that Northwest, and maybe the support that you will give thereafter, can also go back, Madam Pavlo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe to start off with the comments from honorable members. Yes, as a coordinating department, we are working very hard around the clock to make sure that the municipalities are coming on board in terms of reporting. There is work that is happening, but the capacity to capture the information is not there. We are assisting it because Lulu is doing that, is fulfilling that function in terms of the coordination. That is why we've got a dedicated person in the directorate in transport to coordinate. But rightly so, yes, the capacity and the skill is not there. That is why we are going all out to say these students who had math and science in their matric, now going through the learnership programs, the learnerships, once they qualify, get the NQF 1s or 2s, they will therefore re-looked at to go and support the municipalities. We are not doing it. We don't have too many of them, but at least the rural municipalities, they can share the kind of, that kind of a technical. But the other one of an engineer, 2+, as a civil engineer, professional, I really fell a little bit, you know. But I'm not going to that one, but I think it's a good effort, Chairperson. We will look into all the input that we have done, but for Northwest, what we did in the KZN to have a political buy-in and will, we always have the quarterly reporting to cabinet. We got the understanding item quarterly to go and report to cabinet where the premier and the MECs are there, and then we tell them in such a manner that we do name and shame those who are not performing. And each report is jacked up, therefore, to say, hey, this department is coming, they're going to name and shame us. But we also assist them, not only to naming and shaming, but also to deliver. But we are not there where we should be right now. We are doing a lot of work, but they are not reporting. Data preparing is not happening, but we are getting there. But the other one is also, like, I co-chair the cluster of economic cluster and infrastructure. So that's where also we are very strong in terms of reporting on every sitting, just to give an update in that subcommittee of cabinet, which is the economic cluster and infrastructure. Before that, and it gets ratified by all the HODs that are forming there, and then it goes up. Maybe also goes to the social cluster as well, like health, because they're also participating, before it goes to cabinet. So it's just those kind of things that we force cabinet to listen to us, to say, this is where we are, this is what we want, these are the challenges. Then there's a solid buy-in from everybody, from the Premier and to the MECs as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You will protect me if I'm charged for breaking the protocol. Did you? You had the questions.
Thanks very much.
Mr. Prain, you will come later, no? Excuse me? Sorry?
No, later. Let's just allow them. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairpersons and Honorable Members. We have taken note of all the questions raised and comments which we consider as contributions towards the possible or processes to review the current model which already we are proposing that it should be reviewed. I think this is the process that is going to start from now from the Department of Public Works. Obviously we'll work with the National Treasury to look into this, the review of this model. The areas which we may want to clarify maybe is the area of the guideline for the job targets and the status of the protocols as to how binding are they and whether they are aligned to the IDPs. And then in areas where issues of capacity and so on, I think this is a role that we still have to play because we are very much interested in ensuring that there is an improvement in this area, more so that we are on the spotlight as the coordinating department. We appreciate the opportunity to call various implementing bodies to contribute to this. It is going to assist us going forward. And also the issue of the summit or the quota that Buddhists to discuss this, we are going to look into that. May I suggest that you cover those questions that are still outstanding? Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairs and members. The target setting process, the base, we have to make certain assumptions, obviously, and find a basis to set the targets properly. And honorable members would be right to say that it has been, set relatively low, because as in one of the presentations was also clearly pointed out that MIG has been used as a basis to set the targets, but obviously there would be, the budget would be much bigger. But the whole idea or the purpose of setting targets would be to set targets in such a way that it would be achievable in the short term first, to get things going, put everything in place, and then to overperform on these. So we are also of the opinion that it is possible for implementing bodies, both municipalities and provinces for that matter, to perform much better because they command much bigger budgets. We are glad that, yes, the city of Joburg perhaps would be sitting with much bigger resources if we compared with smaller rural municipalities. But the purpose, I think, of sharing this would be, for us as a learning exercise, would be the approach that they have used by saying that each and every, they have not said that there would be 10 to 15% or 20% of the budget would be used for the EPWP, they said. Each and every project and EPWP project, and that's an important one. So just those few comments with regard to the setting of the targets. And these targets then have been included in the protocols, because what we want to achieve through the protocols that we signed with municipalities would be to get buy-in at the political level, because from both the mayor's side and the municipal manager, and our recommendation then was that it should be fed through the councils to bear proper political buy-in that these targets would be achieved. What we don't want would be setting the target or signing a protocol, and where when you have a changing of the guard, so to speak, then everything, we have to start as public works, the process all over again. And that's why we want those targets to be signed, so that it is something that that would be a sense of continuity in terms of commitment from individual municipalities. A further comment with regard to the summit, we are in the process, or actually to have a follow-up, to plan a follow-up summit, and we would be grateful for any kind of input in terms of the broader format and to inform the agenda that we will be that we need to set for this target, because we feel if we get a broader range of stakeholders and role players involved, we can actually take forward the program in its entirety in a much, much better way. Thank you.
See, the members, there was a comment that was kind of cutting across. The issue of coordination was raised consistently by the members. I thought that Public Works, National Department would comment on that, because this is your last chance to comment. You will not have another chance to comment. But also, Mangaung, for instance, says the reason why they are not performing, they are saying that it's because they only take targets from MIG. In other words, only MIG that qualifies. That's what they said. So I thought that you would comment on those kind of things, because this session is also meant to clarify some of the, what you call, the understanding of what people are saying here in the House.
Thank you very much, Chairpersons, honorable members. Just to provide clarity on some of the questions that were asked, the target that was set for Manga Woman for municipalities was based on the MIG, and that was set as a minima. So Manga Woman is, they can, what they are saying is that using the, all the resources that they have, because the EPWP budget is not limited to MIG only. You can use own funding. So it should be much easier for them to achieve the target. That's what he said, and that's what our premise is. So it's not acceptable, or we're pushing public bodies to say the target we've set for you is the minimum based on your MIG. Let's push so that we are able to, because if you're failing to meet the minimum with bigger resources, there is a problem, and that's where we're coming in to support public bodies to say we need a additional technical capacity. What has really come out is the issues we're grappling with. The technical capacity in the public bodies is a big challenge, but we are putting a capacity from our side, and we are continuing to mobilize more capacity to support municipalities. So that's the issue on the targeting. In terms of the coordination, EPWP, we have provincial steering committees. In every province, there's a provincial steering committee, which is comprised of the provincial departments and municipalities in a province. In the case of City of Johannesburg, they have gone further to have an EPWP steering committee for the City of Johannesburg, where they invite there are different entities to present, and we are part of that as a national department. So the national department, in terms of coordination, we have three main structures, I would say. We have a national coordinating committee where all the coordinators from all the provinces come to that forum together with the lead sector departments. That's the first forum we have. It's at a national level. We also have, at a provincial level, we have provincial steering committees where in a province the performance is assessed, composed of provincial departments, municipalities as well. One of the things we're moving to now that was an outcome of the municipal summit, we said we're now going to have district EPWP forums, and that is where we're going now. The challenge we had was the municipal elections, we decided to wait because many councils have been reconstituted. But the idea is that we want to have the district forums as well. There was a question about what does the protocol entail. It entails the targets in the protocols for municipalities. It entails the targets for the municipality over the next 5 years. It also says the municipality should appoint a member of the mayoral committee to champion EPWP, because our experience in EPWP, where there is political buy-in, where there is a champion in a provincial department or municipality, we've had very good performance. So that is critical. That's one of the things that the protocol entails. Also, in terms of the protocol, we will be reporting back to the councils on a regular basis, say it's quarterly, to be able to tell them the performance in terms of EPWP. So that's what is contained in the protocol. There was a question asked about the department being able to disperse in time. We are able to disperse the incentive in time. In terms of the information on EPWP, we're planning to have a municipal summit, like the Deputy Director General said. We want to have a follow-up municipal summit because we have new office bearers. We need to have a follow-up municipal summit. We also want to have, or we're going to have, provincial summits on EPWP. So you'll have the national, but we'll also have provincial follow-up so that we can be able to deal with issues in provinces in depth. But the idea is that we want to have district coordinating forums, and that will be able to ensure that municipalities learn from each other, but also we monitor the province, the performance. I think those are some of the questions that I wanted to give some more clarity about.
Mr. Anderson, you're done?
Yes.
Okay. From the municipalities,
comments, Nelson Mandela?
Thank you very much. Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much once more. Yes, there are. We have got a comment. First of all, we really like to appreciate and welcome, you know, the invite that has made to us. We are going to use it, you know, very fruitfully from our side. Most especially now we've got a letter that is coming from Parliament. So what we're going to do, Chair, as early as next week, definitely what we're going to do, Chair, we're going to write an item to the senior management and also to which will deserve the mayor, and they will come up with clear recommendations coming from this meeting. One of the two recommendations, amongst others, will make a recommendation that we should visit, you know, Johannesburg, city of Johannesburg. Definitely they are going to accept that. Together with a colleague from infrastructure and engineering, particularly design session, and also a person from waste management, because what they presented to us here is very exciting, more especially since we've got plans that are in the ITP. So that letter, your letter is going to assist us because we're going to attach this letter. And also, Chair, maybe responding, you know, on the honored member, you know, on what we have said in our challenge that there's a poor reporting. So what I've said in the proposed solution that we're going to introduce EPWP policy. So maybe I should have unpacked that, because in that policy, we're recommending that there should be a steering committee which is going to be represented by all electorates. So we're going to enforce that. And also make a point that at least, you know, that steering committee, there is a champion person coming from each territory. So it will be able for us to engage with an individuals now, being, you know, given a mandate by the particular directories. That's what we'll be planning to do. I'm not quite sure whether it's something that you want to add, my colleague, because,
So, Chair, thanks to the honorable members for you. So if my supervisor still Chair, thank you very much. I think also we are trying, Chair, to pin it down to our supply chain processes, because it's true what has been said by the honorable member that we as government, we've got buying power in terms of procuring these services, so we do have the capacity, we do have the muscle to create these jobs. But such that how sometimes the scope of work and what we say in these terms of reference when we appoint these service providers and so forth, and how the other colleagues, the route that they suppose, that's where the loopholes are at. So with the trainings that we get from Department of Public Works, of LIC training and all those things, we've built in all those things, and we are through the municipal manager's office. Mr. Khala is going to sit in one of the procurement committees in terms of specification committee and so forth. So that's where we will be looking at tenders that do not comply with what would have been endorsed by council. But right now, Chair, we are unable to enforce all these issues of reporting. There are projects on the ground, they are happening. Yes, at times public works do send data capturers to go and visit sites and so forth to capture information and so forth. But we need to enforce that on our appointment letters and so forth. So the police is going to assist us a lot in the Nelson Mandela business. But thanks.
But I think the other member there, Honorable Ngwana, did raise the question of, though maybe it was looked like she was generalizing, but I suspect that it was yourselves looking at the kind of the identifying of projects. I mean, we have seen people, Motherwell, all over, up in arms because there is no work. But clearly, it looks like from your presentation, it looks like you have a problem of identifying the projects. About the your social, what you call a project as well, I think that you're not very strong on that side. Like Mangaung, for instance, all of you, the issue of identifying the projects. Johannesburg says it's not just about identifying special projects, but it's saying every work
because it's, it's labor intensive, must be an EPWP project. But yourself, I think that is another thing that maybe you really need to look at. The example was made about government buildings that are there that needs attention and those kind of issues. Honorable Mandlopa.
We appreciate the explanation and we appreciate that the Metro is intending to have a policy. But it does not stop what my colleague was saying around the issue of consultant coming with the product that is not the expected. Because, Chair, even if there is no policy, when you appoint a person, there is a specification which have got the standard to say what product are we expecting if we appoint a person. Specification is the one that is supposed to tell us to say that if that person is not producing what is on the specification, why pay? Why do you pay if it's not the product that we're expecting? These are some of the things, Chair, that I think we need to tighten as institutions, especially public institutions, because we are very loose when it comes to that, Honorable Chair. Also, the other thing, Chair, I think because the Treasury will be speaking to that, the funding model of the municipalities, it was really emphasized, maybe to say what Treasury thinks around that particular thing. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. You want to comment? Are you fine?
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
No, Jobek, okay. Welcome to you. Nelson Mandela, you're fine, eh?
No, Chair, thanks, but we wanted to say that no, we have noted what you have said in terms of identification of project, and also, you know, even the theme that has been used is being used by Johannesburg, City of Johannesburg, of every project should be in EPWP. We have highlighted it today, but we have noted comments that we should not wait for the policy. We should make sure that at least by now, you know, since we are also seeking the specification, the letter of appointment for the consultants, they should be specified. But I think we're noting all this. Thank you very much.
Mr. Van Rijn, thank you very much. Mr. Van Rijn, your presentation was saying that Mangaung, in fact, can make the best, what we call it. You're saying that it's a stony area, those kind of things. To me, I thought that you can make a better target than many of the municipalities just because of the topography of your area.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. We appreciate all the comments. I think we are learning a lot. What I meant by rocky areas is we are using labor-intensive work to dig the trenches. We are doing the curbs labor-intensive. But if we have a rocky trench, then the machine must assist to do the excavation. And then we don't have that many laborers to take part in the excavation process. But we still use the laborers to do some of the other work. So a rocky area only means that the excavation must be done by machine. Unfortunately, it can't be done by hand. But we still try to use as much labor as possible. Then, what the budget, as far as the budget is concerned, the reason why we advertise only after the budget has been approved, then the money is secured. Because if we advertise a project and the priorities has changed, when the budget is approved, then we must start the whole process.
Mr. Van Rijn, I think let's just hold it there. I don't know if you have another comment, because you see now, in the past, during apartheid days, the budget, nobody knew the budget. That's why the budget day was such a big thing, because nobody knew. But now, you can tell us sitting there that your budget for next year more or less would look like this for the other year. Would also look like that. So please, let's not just try to justify some of the things here that are not justifiable. Let's talk about other things. About planning, planning is planning. On top of what of the idea that you have about what your budget will look like the following year, maybe what the members are saying is that there's also your IDPs.
which are supposed to close before the beginning of the financial year. And those issues that the communities raise can assist us in identifying some of the, what you call, projects.
No, I agree much. I could just mention this, that on the IDP they mention they need streets and they need stormwater, they need water and sanitation. But it's not broken up into smaller projects. But when we put out the project, then it is broken up. We identify a street by its name. We identify a specific area for water and sanitation. Maybe that is the difference. So that is all I want to say. If we can carry on then, on the MIG and the non-MIG projects, we are reporting on both of them. Unfortunately, we don't have that many non-MIG funded projects to assist us. But we try our very best to report on all the projects. I know we have some challenges. There are big projects that we started reporting on. But that is unfortunately the case. We don't have that many own resources to contribute to this whole process. But we are reporting on all of them that is possible. Then our documents, we also advertise all our projects according to the EPWP guidelines, but I agree there is room for improvement, and that is what we are going to do. We are going to put in more details how we can force the contractors and the consultants to employ a specific number of laborers per specific project. So that is what we learned from this discussion, and that is what we intend to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just on the specific questions asked, I think Honorable Madlopa was commenting about the target being too low. And thanks for the clarity that Johannesburg is not representing Gauteng. You know, I think that's a very important comment. I know we are also victims of our own success. And I promise you, 3-4 years ago, we could not go past 10,000 jobs per year, you know, and I think until we fix the structural problems that were experienced by the city of Johannesburg, hence we can show the results that are here. Okay, I think there was a comment or question about the 6.9 million rand on the Itakeng. Okay, Chair, I forgot to mention this, that one of the other objectives of the city of Johannesburg is to ensure that the person days of work is increased. So in other words, we want to keep the same people, although the number might look long, short, smaller, but to keep those people working for a much longer period. So if you look at that specific project, we've got, I think, 250 people, but they work for a period of 12 months. You know, and I think it's the type of project that we continue perhaps for the next 5 years. So without giving people guarantees, technically you're employing people for a much, much longer period. So I think we've really gone past that point where we're focusing on the short-term jobs. And I think we've taken all the comments. We've also learned a lot, by the way, from the other members. I'm sure we'll be visiting KZN as well to learn a few of the successes. And Nelson Mandela is welcome. I mean, Mangaung, and you're also welcome to talk to us. Thanks.
No, thank you very much for those comments. I'm sure Nelson Mandela and Mangaung will take up the invitation. National Treasurer.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairpersons, honourable members. When the EPWP first started, we had grants that was not linked to performance.
If you could just identify, tell us who you are.
Oh, sorry.
You haven't spoken.
I'm so used to seeing you, Mr. Sigourney, that I'm Julia De Bruyne. I work in the public finance section. My actual job is dealing with the National Departments of Education. But as an additional function, I also coordinate within the Treasury all the people that deal with the EPWP. And so to the honourable member that asked about the revenue base, I'm afraid I am not going to be able to answer that question. That belongs in our intergovernmental relations branch. And it may be worth, in fact, Mr. Sigourney, having that discussion on the funding of rural municipalities as a separate discussion. Because in some ways it is connected to the EPWP incentive problem, but in other ways it's also not. So in terms of the EPWP phase one, all the grants were given not based on performance. And so you could deliver jobs that cost, for example, in the social sector, 60,000 rand a person year, and in another department you could get a job that cost 120,000 rand a person year, but your allocation wasn't based on your performance. When Public Works came to have a discussion with the Treasury about how can we get people to do things in a labor-intensive way, the sector that appeared to be the most suitable for that was infrastructure. And that is how the infrastructure incentive grant came about, was to say, what can we do to encourage people to go the labor-intensive route? So from a kind of a principal point of view, I'd really like to know if the committee doesn't want us to do the, we don't want to incentivize people from a principal point of view, because then definitely we can review the grant and turn it into a normal grant. That is not an issue. For us, the discussion with Public Works at the time was, what can we do to incentivize a public body to change the way they conduct their business?
That's why it's still there, Mr. Prey. I think that what the members are saying across, what I heard them saying, is that, look, if you're taking Johannesburg, for instance, the big metros like Joburg and others, they don't have a problem in the incentive, because they have resources, they can put their own resources. But if you take Sisonke in KZN and other small municipalities, do not have that capacity to put their own resources. For instance, National Treasury has changed. If you take MIG, for instance, there's now MIG cities and the MIG, which takes into account that we are not dealing with the same capacity. The capacity is not the same in the country. But to say, how do we ensure that we lift those who are small as well? I think that is the kind of question that the committee is raising. Thank you.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to understand if the principle of the incentive is fine. It's the way that the model is currently implemented, in which we may need to have a closer look at the rural municipalities and come with a different kind of way that we deal with them, and that we deal with them differently from other municipalities. Or are the members saying that we shouldn't work on an incentive basis?
Let me allow her to respond. I'll fill up.
Thanks, Chair. No, what we are saying, Chair, to us as ordinary members, we look at this incentive grant as survival of the fittest, if I may put it that way. Mr. Hlabisa said, you can't access that incentive if you don't have a budget to implement capital projects. That's what we are saying as members. If we are saying we are competing, the metros do have capacity because they do have revenue base. And we are saying in the deep rural municipalities, they don't have revenue base.
Like
Guyana. So if they want to access that incentive, how are they going to access? Because you can't access before you spend your own budget. That's why we are saying at the same time we are excluding other municipalities not to take part, because they can't compete with those that have funds. I think we are correct to say that in the first instance, all the municipalities were treated the same when you were giving them the grant, infrastructure grant, without saying the others will access, the others will not access. And my honourable the honourable member was asking why the other municipalities are not taking part to this. Few municipalities are counted. It's because they are excluded in the process. We are saying the way you look at this particular thing, look it in a way that all the municipalities will benefit from that particular grant. Will benefit. If it means to say that you top up the grant that you are giving to the municipalities, do that so that they can make a difference, because the gaps in South Africa of the service delivery are more in deep rural areas, not in the cities. Why do you compensate more the cities and leaving behind the rural communities? That is our concern as the people that are representing the people on the ground.
Chairperson, the issue here is that you first do and be refunded, sort of refunded. The municipalities don't have money to do the actual on the ground and be refunded thereafter. That's where the problem is. The rural ones don't.
Well, I think that then, Mr. President, I understand the discussion to be saying, we're not saying no to incentive. But what we are saying is that the municipalities are divided, are categorized into sizes. There are metros, there are middle-high income municipalities, there's low what they call municipalities, which have no revenue base at all. Now we're saying we can't treat them the same. Because if you say here's the rate run for somebody who has nothing, so it means that that person will not start, because the person has no start. But I think what the committees are saying is that let's find a mechanism to deal, to support those that can't start. And in fact, that's where the issue of unemployment is higher. It is in those what we call rural municipalities. Now, if we say no, but if you can't, if you don't report, in fact, that's what the report of Public Works is saying. It's saying, well, for those municipalities that don't report, they don't report. They are interested in the municipalities that report. But we're not interested in saying, why are others not participating? And that is a question that is being raised. Those that are not participating, because the issue really is not about the people who occupy offices, your mayors, your what. The issue is about the constituencies that don't benefit from this cake. So that's why then the proposal is saying, let's find a mechanism that will support your ordinary municipality. It's a pity that then we did not invite them, but we know what the issues are. Thank you very much. I'm sure that is clear. Okay.
I mean, thank you for the clarification, Chief, because now when we meet with Public Works, we know exactly, and there's no misinterpretation about what the committee and the chair from the other committee wants us to review. And absolutely, I mean, it's a standard practice to review grants, especially ones where there's underspending. As I've explained to
them. But I'm sorry, we don't just want the standard practice. We want to give you time to come and report back to us. After you have consulted, then we must get feedback. And we think that by the time we come to MDVBS by September, we should be able to get feedback that time, roughly.
Then as I've replied to the Honourable Member, I think then there may need to be a discussion about municipal revenue and the funding of municipalities, and that would be Mr. Brown and his division. And then Gillian will deal with the other questions.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Gillian Wilson, National Treasury, responsible for Public Works Budget. I think with regard to the underspending,
I think there was a lot of issues raised here, and it's all linked to the underspending. That is the model that was raised, excess of your rural municipalities to the grant, the issues relating to capacity building in your smaller municipalities. I think those are the things that we need to look at. And I think when we reviewed the plan of public works in rolling out phase one and two, we actually evaluated that plan and we provided a budget for that plan. And I think part of that is also to build capacity within public works to actually implement the program. So I think we need to look at all of those issues. We need to sit together because I think it's not something that we as National Treasury enforce onto public works. I think we provide support, and I think we should sit together as partners and sort of review all the plans that was presented and also align the budget in with the new reforms on the program and also in terms of capacity that need to be implemented to provide capacity for your rural municipalities. Thanks.
No, it's fine. Then, thank you very much. I think, PG, your last comment.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, honorable members. We do appreciate this opportunity. I think also from the National Treasury point of view, it's good that they've been here. Now we're going to have a session, and then we make our presentation as we've done here. We interact, and then we process the recommendation, which will still come back here to actually engage with the portfolio committee to indicate progress that we're going to make out of this. I know that the intention is to ensure that we have a positive impact on the ground with respect to the implementation of these programs. I think we take it very positive as public works. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much, Acting Chairperson.
Chairperson, this interaction must take place before the summit and the workshops, because the purpose of the workshop is to workshop the councillors, new councillors down there. So this must happen before the workshops and the summit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I must start by thanking my colleagues from Public Works, the Portfolio Committee, and everyone else, because I think that we had a useful meeting. However, I think there are a few comments that one would like to, lessons that we think that we have learned from this, especially for provinces. And the challenge, Chairperson, I think that the challenge now will be to say how do we ensure that the other provinces learn, for instance, from a peer, what you call it, kind of learning. KZN says their report goes to cabinet. It is cabinet driven. It's just not just that department of transport. The whole cabinet focuses, they have got to report about the activities in their own department. Now the issue is how do we ensure that we adopt this method of dealing with the project. As a result, they are performing better than the water core. But there is room for improvement. They are performing better. The report was saying that only 7 departments out of 9 provinces that are working. So it means that there's a lot of work that is there that can be what you call there are a lot of opportunities that are not exploited there. So if the provinces could use that model of KZN, but now the issue really between the
National Treasury, National Department of Public Works, and ourselves as Parliament, is to say, how do we ensure that that model is adopted? And I think that could be utilized to ensure that people adopt that model. It should not be difficult. The Johannesburg also says we mainstream. It's not that it's public works. EPWP vis-a-vis the other thing. We mainstreaming the whole work. And we think that municipalities, it's a pity that we did not invite Patricia, you there, but I think that this message will convey to COPTA that if we want to create jobs, it means that we must mainstream. We must not one vis-a-vis the other. That is why it's not working. But also, the other area is the, I think that you have done a lot of work in terms of your road shows, but clearly there's room for improvement because of, when you listen, there's only very, very few of us, a tiny fraction of municipalities that are here, but the understanding is not the same. Clearly, I think we appreciate the fact that you say you want to have a focus on a municipal conference, whatever you... Sorry? On a municipal summit. So that there could be one understanding. And the fact that members of parliament are saying that should take into account, I mean moving forward, should take into account the fact that the municipalities are not equal, are not the same. These disparities of municipalities, so the approach going to the next budget must take that into account now, so that when by the time we go to MTPPS and what, we clear that how public works is going to ensure that your small municipalities have access to this, because we can't look away when the rural municipality does not take up and say, well, they don't take it up, it's their business. It is not their business, it's our problem. In fact, the constitution enjoins both national and provincial departments to support municipalities, not to look away, but to support them. So that is what we really need to do. The issue of technical capacity, I think that is a challenge. But it's not that there's nothing that can be done. Again, all the provinces, they are full of universities, they are full of technical colleges that can, what you call, that can support this program of government. So it is. I suspect that it's upon National Public Works to ensure that, or provincial departments, to ensure that those universities, our institutions of higher learning, can respond to this capacity that we're saying we're running short of. I think that they can. There are resources. You see, this year's money, there's a lot of money this year that has been appropriated, whether it's to provinces, recapitalization of technical colleges, what. But I think that we need to engage them in terms of saying, what is it that what are the needs of departments like public works, for instance? So people can be employed if we were to engage with them. Well, I think that we have spoken to, commented about other municipalities like Mangaung. Mangaung now, you're no longer a district or a local municipality, you are a metro. But
clearly the fact that one can lament perhaps is the fact that not senior people came here who really have access to some of these decisions. I mean, if you listen to colleagues here saying, well, our MIG is limited. If we can go to check what MIG, for instance, of Mangaung is, you find that there are huge resources that have been given, whether it's for water, whether it's for roads. This year, government appropriated, national government appropriated resources for maintenance of roads. So I'm not sure if we are clear about those things that are there. But if you look at the division of revenue, you look at what kinds of grants that are there. And for instance, Nelson Mandela, well, I think that with Nelson Mandela, the issue of identification of projects is really very important. I saw some of the what you call the projects that you are doing. You are using municipal resources to clean schools and what. There's a lot of money that lies in the Department of Education that they are supposed to come to play. Maybe the municipalities could speak to, I mean, could organize their own stakeholders in the localities, their district offices there for education and what, so that they can also put their own resources rather than using your meager resources of municipalities to support your provincial competencies. Because the issue of also, issue that comes into question is those mandates that are unfunded mandates, which are raised many times. But I think that with stakeholders coming together, so that we don't say it's our thing, but there should be no competition. We are one government. We can do these issues. But honorable members and SALGA, we're hoping that in the next meeting, SALGA will have concluded the processes of constituting SALGA, because I pity you, and because your political heads were not there. You don't have a national chairperson of SALGA. I don't know how it works after municipalities, but maybe it's something that SALGA really needs to move a little bit fast, so that because this issue is not about those offices, it's about the people that we're supposed to serve. The more we delay these issues, I would really like on behalf of the two committees to thank everyone who came, even those who didn't say much today. I know that tomorrow they will say, but thank you very much for bringing a team such that at least contingency. There are no questions that will be left unanswered. You represented them successfully. Well, this meeting stands adjourned. National Treasury didn't assist us with lunch. We don't have a sufficient budget. Thank you very much. But